Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 144.
What up, homeboy? What's up, baby? You should have came with me this weekend.
And next, go where?
No. Next time I invite you to go to a...
You didn't invite me.
No. I can't see. Listen, I get a certain amount of tickets, and if I throw it at you, I can't have you be like, well, let me. You just got to be like, yeah, I'm going. Like right there at that minute, you stop what you're doing and say, yes, Cam, I'm going to come hang out with you at a concert. Because you know I'm going to entertain you, and you know I'm going to show you a
good
time.
Yeah, but I had a – it's kind of like Jaden Schwartz has a really good offer from Seattle, but he wants to see who else is coming to the party. It's kind of like an e-vite.
Oh, yeah, where'd you go?
Before he signs.
Where'd you go? So, who'd you hang out with?
I went to a country club.
That's cool.
Okay? And we got all dressed up.
Not your own country club. Somebody else's country club.
Well, you get invited to a country club. Hung out with some
businessmen. Listen, there must have been really fun.
I know the option was like, okay, either go to the Pink Floyd cover band or
from St. Louis, who are gigantic.
I know they are.
And they're all friends of ours.
I know they are. So just remember that.
Just remember that.
And they're very good. And a lot of people know who they are. And I would have gone. And if I had not committed to going somewhere
else, I'm not
going to
invite you anymore. I would have gone. I'm not going to invite you anymore.
You brought it up to me the day of.
So what? Drop what you do.
You even said
to me,
okay, you got to go do what you're doing. That's what you said.
After you gave me... No, because I react to what your body language is. And if, like, you're not into it, and I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to waste time.
I'd be into it.
I'm not going to waste time.
Did you have a car service?
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus. Almost got fucking T-boned, too. Almost fucking died.
Who was driving?
I don't know. Some dude.
It was my buddy's driver.
What
did they pick you up in?
Oh, a big Suburban.
A Suburban?
Mm-hmm. Like, packed a cooler in that mug.
They picked me up. They clean it up for you and everything?
No. I took a picture of me and Kate and I.
Not inside the car.
In front of our house. You made fun of me for that.
I'm done with those.
Then don't look.
Okay, I'm done with the homecoming pictures in front of the house. Now, I like the picture at the venue.
That was cute.
No, that's a good picture.
My eyes were googly.
Like, the homecoming picture, like when your parents come over and Kate's parents come over, they're taking a picture of you guys before you go out in front of the house. I'm not having that.
Then don't have it.
I need to see what's going on inside the house. I've seen the golf course.
Come over then, ass.
I want to see what's going on in there.
Get out of here. Everybody's been to my house but you. I invite you everywhere. You say, I got to go hang out with wealthy people. And I'm like, oh, that's fun. You're sitting there talking about stocks and bonds and their portfolios while I'm getting my fucking mind right, kicking my fucking feet up. Doing Insta stories.
Now listen.
Get on with
yourself. When you go to Pink Floyd, I mean, it requires...
Fuck Roger Waters.
It requires a certain...
Fuck Roger Waters, dude. They're not coming in town. They're fucking donezo. They're broken up anyway. These guys are better than Pink Floyd anyway.
No, I'm saying, when you go to the Pink Floyd concert, it requires, like, you know, a certain amount of fun. Okay?
We get fucked up.
Did you get your mind right at that thing? I can only imagine.
And then I'm walking out, and I get distracted, talking to people, Kate and I, and then all of a sudden I couldn't find my group. And I'm in the parking lot.
Oh, you got lost.
And then I get in panic mode.
Oh, no.
So everything starts to hit me.
Is that the vertigo?
Oh, Jesus Murphy.
Jesus
when everybody's
Murphy.
They're leaving the concert, and Kate and I, she's dressed
isn't it,
very skimpy.
Isn't it? She had a leather miniskirt.
She had a leather miniskirt on. And people are honking at us. And I'm like, at that point, I was in a good mood. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the night, I'm in a bad mood. Because I'm like, get me the motherfucker.
Really?
I'm just kind of sick
and
of
then talk.
You're in traffic.
Time's up.
I'm like, get the fuck. And all of a sudden, we're standing in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm texting my buddy. I go, get the fuck and pick us up. They're like, we're here. And they're explaining where it's at. And I'm like, it's like cryptic. And I'm like, where? And then Kate's drunk. So then there's a big crowd of people yelling our name. So she goes over and and she's like, do you know where A4 is? And everybody's like, And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a fucking nightmare.
Didn't you have the VIP parking up front?
We got to drop. Yeah, they dropped. But they couldn't get.
Oh, they dropped you off.
It was so packed. They couldn't get to us.
Oh, your Uber did.
So now Kate and I are wandering around the parking lot, and everybody's yelling, oh, my.
Okay. Look, so Cam calls me.
Oh, God, I was in panic mode.
The day of the concert was like, I mean, he had no time for anything. He had to prepare for it.
No time
for
you.
I'm going to the concert, man. Now, you said you had to go to the mall.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was a very bizarre experience. I walk into Lululemon. I have 15-year-old children coming to me and talking to me. And I'm like, hey, and they're like, okay, maybe. I go into that motherfucking little, where you try clothes on. Mm-hmm. I don't shop for myself. Mm-hmm. I haven't been chiseled.
Did they come up to you and be like, Cam, how you doing?
How you doing, Cam? What size? You used to be this size. Let me look at you. And they're like, they're getting close to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, step back. my feet. I'm always so panic mode, and so I'm so.
No, you get nervous.
I'm like, oh, I smell bad, and then I feel like they're talking about me, and then I go into a little clothing section where, and there's mirrors everywhere,
and they're not the best mirrors.
My shirt off.
I know,
and I look at myself, and I see the bald spot on the back of my head. And then I see the gut on the side, and I'm like, I look hideous. Oh, God. And I'm like in this little bubble of mirrors, and I'm seeing every horrible part of my body. And then I'm like, oh, God. And I walk out, and everybody's like, well, try these on. And I'm like, get away. I bought 3 shirts. Mm-hmm. I did a pretty damn good job. I wore a white shirt that night, didn't spill anything on it.
It's not, I have the same shirt. I would have given
you. That was a tough experience.
I would have given you mine. I would have given you mine.
Kate dresses me. She buys my shit, but I went by myself like a big boy.
Yeah, you had to get sunglasses like a big boy, too, you said.
And I thought I was getting ridiculed by all the 15-year-old girls in there. Mm-hmm. They're talking behind my back like high school and stuff. And I'm like, fuck.
Can I tell you this? I did it, though. Cause, okay, so my wife worked there, right, for 10 years at Lululemon.
Yep.
There's something going on with the mirrors. Where when you go in there,
they add 20 pounds, don't
they? Oh, yeah.
And whiteness.
And like you ruin your confidence, like you lose your confidence. There's something about the mirrors there that it changes, like distorts the shape.
I look like a fucking mutant.
What you really look like.
I go, I'm running with the dogs. I'm eating kind of.
So don't.
I looked at myself and I go,
read too much into that.
I hate you, Cam. Look at your look at the side of you. And then I'm like, oh, God, there's a mirror behind me. And I'm like, oh, God, your bald spot. Mm. It's expanding. My head's so fucking big to where I had to go buy glasses. I put glasses on. Does anybody else have this fucking problem? All you Canadian folk, Sweden, whatever. Is your head as big as mine to where you put glasses on and they don't fit? Because my head's so wide and long to where the things don't go across my ears, Andy. So they're falling off. And finally, I'm like, I can't do anything. I buy clothes. I smell bad. I look in the mirror. I'm fat. My bald spot's even worse.
Yeah.
Buy glasses, they don't fit my fat ass head.
Yeah, well, now fuck I understand everything. Why you don't really leave
your house. I'm fucking not. I ain't confident no more. Holy shit. Then I look at my wife and I'm like, how do I, what? My God.
She older than you or younger?
She's a little bit older than me.
Is she?
She looks like she's fucking 22. I look like I'm 80.
But I think that's the way it goes, isn't it?
I hope so.
Like men age faster than women. Is that how it goes or not?
I don't know, man. I've abused my body over the years, let's be honest. But I've been working out. But then when you go in those goddamn things, I'm like, mother. No,
it'll do that to you.
And then my tan line sucks. I'm a fucking mess. Jesus. Hey, I had a good time that night, though.
Did you? Look like you guys were having fun.
Yeah.
Good crew.
You could see. I knew everybody there. Here, we had so many different tickets, and we always get set up. And look, let me give you advice, guys. If you're going to go do something, if you don't have that much money, go to the lawn, do whatever. But if you got a little bit of coin, don't be cheap when you go entertain your wife. Get the nicest shit. Dude. Have the fucking bottle. Just don't have to walk around with a bunch of creeps. Don't have your wife go to the bathroom by herself.
Oh, really?
And those shitty ass fucking. I just don't do that.
I don't know about
so it. I have people
you walk
around
her there?
I have people walk her, dude. We have people. No doubt. We have a bunch of girls that. That crowd was so cool. Other concerts, I don't have my girl walk to the bathroom. I just don't. We have people that take care of us or whatever. Costs a little bit more money, but you're comfortable.
No, what do you mean? You order somebody who walks her to the bathroom?
You just have people with you.
What a waste of money.
It doesn't cost
that. I couldn't think of a more waste of money. Like you hire someone to walk your wife to the bathroom?
I didn't spend a dime. They got free tickets and they hang out with us and that's kind of their thing to do.
They walk your wife to the bathroom.
We chill all night.
My wife can like walk herself.
Yeah. Well, she must be really tough then, Andy. She's probably tough.
Well, no.
She probably walks you to the bathroom. Who the fuck are you kidding?
Well,
my point is, I don't want Kate and her hot ass fucking girlfriends.
No, I'm.
And in that crowd, you get my drift.
I get it.
Why don't you go down to Lake Ozarks and do that?
No, I get it. Because like, listen, I'm very protective. I'm very imposing. I'm intimidating.
You are.
Like when I have the wife and everything. But, you know, like if she's got to go to the bathroom, I might just say, okay, I'll see you in 10 minutes. I mean, like you're at Riverport, dude. Yeah. It's like a big concert venue.
Exactly. Well,
what's going to happen?
I don't know. Just she gets creeped out.
Plus, usually where we sit, like the bathroom's right there, right? Well, you couldn't have been that far from the bathroom.
Oh, where were you sitting? Backstage?
No, you told me you had like a suite or something.
We
a
do.
Box. And like the Riverport box is outside.
Yeah, it's outside.
You have the VIP bathroom.
Yeah, but you still got to walk over there. And again, that crowd was legit. But if you go to a metal concert or a Korn or fucking something like that, like I don't want Kate walk. There's this weird.
It's
still weird.
I don't do the metal. I don't do the metal concert.
We know Andy.
Okay, have you been to one of those before?
What?
A metal concert?
Stupid.
What's the experience like there versus like a
different
concert?
Well, we're always set up. They were always said. Actually, the people are always been good.
Yeah, but are like other crazy people there and stuff like that.
It ain't fucking a rap concert, okay? It's a metal concert. Like there must be there's like mosh pitting going on, but we're not going there. We're sitting up top and doing our thing.
Yeah.
And like you spend the money to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't do this shit all the time anymore. Now concerts are different, but I don't go out that much anymore. So when we do it right. I want Kate to be happy all fucking night.
Yes, you do.
I want to be. If I'm happy, we're all happy.
Okay.
And so I'm comfortable. Did you get your
sunglasses too at the mall?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard anybody say to me, "I'm going to the mall." Like, what are you going to get? Like an Orange Julius or something?
I know. I went to the mall. I'm like walking. I feel like I look like a fucking creepo. I'm walking around the mall. It's all children.
Why didn't you say I'm going to Lulu?
What are
you
going to
do? Because
Lulu's in the fucking mall. I had to walk through the mall, and I'm like putting my head down like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, well, Cam's here. He's going to
Abercrombie
and Fitch.
Nobody goes to the mall anymore. You know
that. I never do. Kate orders everything online, but I had to get a couple things, and I did it. And I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
And I bought them, and it is what it is.
Are you excited for free agency this week? Is that like have your juices flowing a little bit?
Sign somebody and they'll get my juices flowing. But to think of like all the scenarios, I'm like, I don't know.
It's are you confusing. Trying to like stay up on all of it? Or are you not doing that?
What do you want to stay with? Nothing's happened yet. So it's like, what do you mean you break down?
A lot of trades at the draft. A lot of trades.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's good to at least see some action.
I saw the Quinn family. I'll throw them a shout out, man. And I know when Jackie was humping the dude, and that's fine.
Okay, can I ask you about that? Okay, so Luke Hughes.
Lukey?
Like, New Jersey felt some pressure to take Jack. Let's be honest with you. Or take Luke. I mean, you already had Jack. You have people live at the, wherever they're making the selection. I don't know where they were. Like, holding, like, Luke Hughes, like, signs right in front of the GM's face. It's like, okay, what are they going to do? Select somebody else? You know? All of a sudden, they're going to announce, like, the William Eklund kid, you know? But, anyway, so Luke gets chosen, and Jack, can you explain exactly how he celebrated?
Listen, I'll explain it. Like, my dogs are female, so they don't dry hump my leg. But if I had a puppy boy dog, he'd hump my fucking leg. And that's what Jack did to his brother. Now, I think that's illegal in sexual terms.
Yeah.
But it looked like he was very excited, but he did have the pelvic thrust movement. And I just wanted to tone that down because you're kind of humping your brother, which I know you love him. And your family's cool and shit, but don't hump your fucking brother.
Was that what he was doing there?
He was kind of humping him. Yeah. And I'm like, and if I'm his brother, like, I'm like, get the fuck
like,
off me.
Kind of like thrusting him. Like
I know you're excited, but don't hump me. How about you? I'd rather you punch me in the face.
I thought Quinn was super chill. I thought Quinn was very chill.
Quinn's like, I'm chill until I get sexually molested by my brother.
Yeah,
and
no,
that's what happened.
Luke was getting like a little bit violated.
What,
but
and
like,
then Quinn's
Quinn,
like,
the older one, he's just like,
Quinn's
I'm
like,
chilling.
I play for Vancouver. I ain't into this weird incest shit.
No, it's like New Jersey celebration.
The New Jersey weird shit going on.
It was
the
like,
boys are
going
to beat the motherfuck out of those two like you can't believe, dude.
Really?
When they walk in that locker room, I don't know if they don't even have any older I don't know who
they got. PK Subban.
PK Subban's not watching any of that shit. He's too busy fucking.
Is he Instagramming?
He's Instagramming with like a leather coat on in the middle of summer somewhere. And you're like, look at me. I'm like, okay. But yeah, the humpy thing, just don't hump your brother. You can hump your girlfriend.
PK shows
don't hump
up
your
everywhere.
Family.
He was like in Little Italy, like during the Euro 2020 championship. Like he was there.
Or he'll film himself like jumping in the water. Like we do that. Hey, PK.
Yeah, we
I
do
can
that.
Jump in the water too.
We do
too.
That too.
PK, I jump in the water too. Okay. I do. The fuck out of here. So nerdy.
They're trying to move him.
No shit, they are.
Yeah.
Who isn't trying to move that motherfucker? It's all about him, and he's probably a good dude, and he's going to be great after hockey, but he's just too much. And it's not, it's just him. There's other guys like that too, man. There's guys that are just too much. Harrison Bader, sometimes he's playing great right now, Cardinal guy. People hate him in St. Louis. He's a handsome motherfucker, but he's just too much.
He's always just kind
he's
of
too loud
bouncing
for what he
around
does.
A little
he's just
bit.
Too loud for what he does. Yeah. Now he's playing great, but PK Subban is too loud.
Oh, are you up on the baseball? Like,
fuck
give
no.
us another
man,
report. Like, what else do you have for us,
motherfucker? I'm forced into watching this shit. I gotta download. I gotta break this shit down.
What
for
do you
2 hours.
Of Team USA's basketball?
They're
team.
Really cool. Here's why. Hey, Team USA, fuck all you. You don't even care. You guys don't even give a fuck. All y'all, not all of them, but the basketball player, they don't give a fuck they're there. It's such a fucking pain in the ass to be in Tokyo right now. You can't do a goddamn thing.
Well, they can at least like enjoy the game.
Can
that, that's
enjoy the,
back,
the game?
That's probably the best part of their whole time,
they
the entire time being there.
They don't give a fuck. They're not representing U.S.
They make
they don't
like
even $40
million dollars each.
They don't give a fuck.
Why would they go?
Why would you go to
represent
that?
Represent the country. That's
but
why
they don't
do
care.
It.
They're forced into it. They did it, and they're like, oh, now I'm miserable. We don't give a shit. Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. We'll get embarrassed. I got 40 schmel coming. Mm-hmm. I got 200 in a bank. What do I care?
Okay.
It's not about representing your country anymore. It's actually kind of the opposite now with the U.S. Like, people are like anti-America, and then they get their fucking asses kicked. Yeah. I don't know. Represent your country. If you're Canadian, if you're Australian, if you're American, if you're going to play in the Olympics somewhere, you represent your fucking country, and you wear that goddamn flag around your shoulders. You want to do stuff to represent hardcore shit that's going on, racism. I get that, but love your country.
Some people turn their back.
But if you don't love your country, and you don't love your country, then I can't take you seriously. Where are you going to live? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to live?
Canada's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. How is it? Yeah, go up there. I love the Canadian people. You're going
to
move out?
Why are you talking to me like that?
I'm just letting you know I'm talking to them.
Yeah, okay.
So you hate the country that bad, eh? You do that bad. Okay, that's cool. Where do you want to live? I'll wait.
Okay, so did you watch the draft? Can I just say this about the draft?
I fell asleep.
Let me just say this about the draft.
It's like the Seattle fucking draft. It's horrible.
Oh, my God, the expansion draft. What did you think of that? We'll start with that.
I chirped him on it. I didn't mean to chirp like fucking Dominic Moore. Ooh, I don't think he's that good on there anyway. But, you know, I elbowed him one time, big time.
You did
good
what?
Good guy. Elbowed him. He was playing for Rangers. But Dominic Moore up there, those guys are fine. Everything's fine. It's just like we already knew who the fuck they're drafting. And it's just like they're trying to force funniness, and it just wasn't funny. Is funniness a word? Don't care. The point is, I was bored out of my mind. We knew the draft picks. They weren't entertaining
enough.
Did
that bother you that
fucking
all the names were? Hold on. Did that bother you that all the names were revealed before the actual?
Of course it did.
I reported one.
Andy, you're part of the problem. You and your ilk.
I just did one.
You and your ilk, like, let me text these guys. I'm gonna make a name for myself and ruin fucking everything. Fuck that.
Okay, but here.
Stop doing that shit.
I think I did one. I think there's
You were part of the problem.
I did one. I didn't do like a bunch.
It's like I get it. Like, yeah, somebody leaked it.
And
to
nobody
you.
Chirped me on social media, but when I saw other people like going crazy, I kind of get it. Don't blame the people who are reporting it, though. I mean, they're kind of being given the information. I just
who's giving it then, Andy? Who's giving it?
I don't know.
Is it Seattle or is it NHL?
It's not Seattle.
So here's
it's got to be coming from the league. Okay, personally. Fine. That's just the way I look at it.
So here's the deal. How the fuck do you not know who did that? If you're the NHL or you're Seattle, you have a certain amount of people in the little vacuum of the knowledge that's going out, right?
Yeah.
You have a vacuum of people in an office. So if somebody leaks something out of that office, you have a handful of people who know exactly what's going on who would leak it. So if you're a fucking idiot that leaks it, you don't think they're going to fucking track that back to you? So how can you not do that? And if somebody's leaking shit out, how can you trust them for anything else? So if they work for fucking Seattle and they're already leaking shit to agents, fire their fucking ass. Like, now you know. Like, you're not on our team. Like, if that happened with the Blues, you think Doug and those guys would be like, what?
No,
they wouldn't be telling people. They'd be losing their minds. You can't do that shit. So it did kind of ruin it. Does it ruin hot? No. But on the other hand, it's like, as a bigger picture of the business, I'm like, who the fuck is this
guy? When you're
going
to have a made-for-TV special, you better find a way to keep everything under wraps.
Shit.
You can't just say, okay, we're going to hand over the list at like 10 o'clock in the morning and then have the show at like 7 o'clock at night and not expect it to get out. When you know that happens in hockey all the time.
It does, but like, who's the guy doing it? Like, it's not a million guys that know this information. It's
you got to get Sean Kemp a jersey, too. They gave him a t-shirt that was way too small.
Well, then don't wear it.
I think there's that tie shirt he was wearing. I mean, it's way too tiny.
Like,
you got to put a jersey on his ass.
There's a factory like leaking like fucking green sponge right next to it, right? Like, it looked like Simpsons.
Behind?
Yeah, it looked like Mr. Burns' factory.
Boats back there? I was looking at a couple boats back there. Yeah. Some badass boats.
I'm sure you're going to try to buy one.
There's some good boats.
Yeah, there's some wealthy people out there, man. And if you have a big boat out there, so nice, man. There's some yachts. I saw that all. You know, it just was not
entertaining. See, Florida had their draft. They were at like a yacht club. The Florida Panthers.
Well, that's like the new trend now with all these, you know, like a boat parade and boats. And I like that, man. I love boats. We all know that. We talk about it all the time. But just everything about the draft and that situation was kind of boring, in my opinion. Besides, old boy humping his brother.
Okay, so the draft. My only thing on the draft is this. And typically, I'm at the draft. I go to the draft pretty much every year.
I wanted you there this year.
And there was no draft going on live this year. But, like, it doesn't need to last that long. Day two was longer than it's ever been for a second day. But the first day, we don't need to make this a 5-hour production. It just doesn't have to be.
I want to watch other shit. You're waiting 8 minutes.
Five hours.
And then this kid from Sweden. I'm like, I don't know.
I know, but they got to give time to break it down. I guess. I don't know, man.
It's just they got. I don't know. NFL's different.
That's Sam Constantino. He knows everything about everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, he's just like rattling it off. Everyone is like,
it's easy to read a script.
Everyone's just kind of like staring at him, like, whoa, this guy is just like, I mean, he's just providing the info. He's very good at what
he does. He's a left-handed guy, and he does this.
No, he's very good. Like, he knows everything about everybody. He's been, like Pierre. He's been good for a long time. Been good for a long time.
It's all, I don't, look, I'm not bashing those cats. I just think the system was a little bit boring and slow.
It was a little, it was, listen,
I
don't got
this
all night.
This is my time to be honest.
I don't got all night.
I don't know.
To watch. I mean, come on now. If we can't be there or whatever, if it's not at a live event, we just got to shorten that baby.
I got time for it.
Okay, so Montreal, they take Logan Mailloux.
Yep.
Before we get into that.
Okay.
Because that's very controversial.
Yep, I know.
And here's my take on the whole Montreal situation. You got to think really hard. You have to know you're going to get absolutely crushed. When it comes to hockey media, whatever. I mean, it's going to be, this is not going to go over well. So you got to have your answers prepared, you know, for what you're going to say. Did you see the, the head scouting guy for Montreal.
He thought about it for like 20 minutes. He asked a question. Again.
He just couldn't answer. He like froze.
How about just be like,
you got to have an answer prepared. How about you say this?
We evaluated him. He fucked up. There's a difference between being a bad dude. A bad kid, which we've seen a million times over. Andy, you've coached kids. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I play with guys left and right. You know who the bad dudes are. Not many of them. There's not many. And you also know who the dudes that fuck are good kids that fucked up. I fucked up a lot, homeboy. And people took chances on me. They did. I didn't fuck up. I didn't do that kind of shit.
That's a dumb decision he made.
He didn't post it. He sent it to his buddies, and I could see. He's probably like, "Fuck! Look at it. Here, dudes, check this out." Like a bragging thing, and it wasn't. I don't think he meant to be malicious. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But they evaluated that. They looked at his past, and they're like, "You know what? We're gonna take him instead of him going back to juniors and waiting a year with a bunch of kids where you have no representation and you're just like there and everybody's beaking you anyway." We're, as an organization, at the Canadiens organization, going to take you, and now you're under our control. And now we're going to teach you. We're going to have fucking Larry Robinson come in and sit you down. We're going to have fucking the biggest dicks possible and sit your ass down and be like, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. Mm. Now we're in control of you, kid. You're a good kid. You fucked up. Now's your chance to learn from it.
Here's the way I look. I mean,
that's how I look at it. So I would have drafted him. I would have.
Every case is an individual case.
No doubt.
And it's a tough one. Because, I mean, you even look at the situation with Arizona last year. I mean, they took a kid. They knew exactly what was going on. They kind of said they didn't afterwards. They learned some new developments that the kid hadn't apologized and all this type of stuff. And apparently this kid, Mailloux, sent like an apology through a text message or whatever.
Yeah, I saw.
And so people are kind of jumping on him with that. I just wonder, is it worth it? I mean, to bring this much negative attention to your organization and knowing that it's going to create this much of a distraction and this much of attention towards your team. Like I said, I just wonder if it's worth it to do that. Is it worth all the hassle versus grabbing somebody else?
It always blows over, homeboy. It always blows over. Let's look at and maybe they look at it like those guys that are making those decisions like, yeah, I remember playing juniors. Mm-hmm. Not that I did that, but I did some crazy things, and I'm still a pretty good dude. This kid could be a pretty good dude. He fucked up. That poor girl. And if I was that girl's daddy, I'd be motherfucking pissed. Don't get me wrong. I'd be motherfucked up. Mm-hmm. I'd put my fucking foot down. I'd be fucking pissed. He didn't post it online. So just remember that. It's not online. Mm-hmm. It's to a couple of dudes, and that's still horrible. But in this particular situation, if I'm evaluating it, I'm like, is he a bad kid? Or did he fuck up?
That's the question. I don't want to make any comparison because it doesn't make it right.
No, I know. Nothing's right.
But I look at, like, you know, every time you're watching the NFL draft, you watch NBA draft, maybe the MLB draft, you hear about controversial decisions. Now, often in football, you see those guys fall in the draft. Now, this kid fell, but he still landed in the first round. I mean, it took him in the first round. But people are sitting there saying, well, they shouldn't have taken him because he asked not to be drafted. He said, don't draft
That's
me.
His agent right? telling him to do that, but go ahead.
You think that was by design?
Of course it was. You think he's like, I don't, you think he made that conscious decision like, I don't want to be drafted? Are you crazy? His fucking agent.
He's got a team behind him.
Exactly.
And obviously he's not posting that on his own without everybody kind of signing off. His agent said,
this is the best thing for you. Yeah. You got to degrade yourself. Mm-hmm. And then now,
even if it means they don't draft him this year.
Exactly. But I think that they knew somebody would. Mm-hmm. Because it still wasn't, who's a dude, there's some.
Yeah, but I look at it like this, Cam. I look at it like if I'm the kid, because he still could get drafted next year. He's playing for the London Knights this year. It's not the worst thing to say, you know what, don't draft me. So I don't have to carry this around with me everywhere I go. And then now deal with it just blowing up where all of a sudden all this negative attention is happening and everybody's going crazy and saying, you know, it just kind of reminds everyone exactly what you did and what the story won't go away. You'd rather the story go away. I truly believe deep down maybe he didn't want to be drafted just for that purpose of just kind of letting him just focus on playing for the London Knights this year and then proving that he's a good player or whatever, and then maybe do it all over again next
year. Well,
you
don't have to prove you're a good player. You have to prove you're a good person.
In a market like Montreal, dude.
You have to prove you're a good person. You could play another year and score 80 billion goals.
You know what I mean.
Listen to me. You could score 80 goals.
You got to prove your character.
You have to prove your character. How do you do that? Get filmed by people, giving food to charity? How the fuck do you prove your character? You can't.
Just stay out of the
shit. You just do it, but no one's filming you to show that you proved your character. Right. It's only hearsay, she say, whatever. So why, if you're getting drafted, just get drafted. Like, they're going to, I'd rather, if I'm a business, if I'm Montreal, I'm like, I'm going to take a risk on this kid. Mm-hmm. If it works, done.
I just don't know if
listen,
Montreal deserves to be like they're the worst people. They obviously, and this is the NHL. I would certainly hope they did whatever due diligence they felt like they needed to do.
Exactly.
To truly be comfortable in making this decision. Like, you don't just wake up and say, hey, we're just going to take this kid. You have to get as much information as you possibly can to truly feel like the risk that you're taking is worth it, and it's not going to come back to haunt you. It's not going to come back to bite you. Now, still, I'm not going to sit there and say what they did was great or whatever, but hey, man, I'm used to seeing this in other sports all the time. That
knocking girls out the bar.
It doesn't surprise me.
20 women with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, 22 women said the same fuck thing. Same fucking thing.
He's in training camp.
He's in fucking training camp. He's doing his thing. Now they might trade him. They like, what? Well, how about the one Mixon motherfucker from Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. Knocked a girl out with a left hook in the bar. Knocked her out. And he's fucking doing his thing, making millions.
The kid who's the running back in
Mixon.
Cleveland now.
Oh, is it Cleveland? I'm sorry.
He used to be in Kansas City.
My bad. Is it Joe about. Mixon?
No, he's in Cincinnati.
They both knocked girls out there.
I don't know his story.
You can't compare. My point is.
But who's the running back from the Cleveland Browns who was in Kansas City? Remember, he was like, they were having a great year, and all of a sudden, no.
Who?
They were having a great year, and then he got suspended for the rest of the season.
How about you roll it? How about you just
Hunt,
like
look, Hunt,
Kareem Hunt?
Kareem
how about
Hunt.
You throw a dart at the thing, and you'll, there's somebody has something going.
Oh
on.
Oh my god!
How about throw a dart at a fucking photo of a team in the NFL, and you'll find somebody that
I
fucked
saw
up.
Lawrence Phillips get taken like sixth overall, something like that here in Lawrence St. Louis.
He killed motherfuckers. That motherfucker killed motherfuckers.
No, I know he had some issues
down out where I live.
Mm-hmm.
He killed motherfuckers.
I mean, I'm just saying like.
So,
but that's where a lot of times you make these decisions. Sometimes they're going to prove you wrong. Sometimes they're going to prove you right. I don't know. And that's the risk you got to take, man, as an organization. That's on you. So you better hope that it works out.
Andy, but don't you guys want kids, when they fuck up, to realize they fucked up and have an organization that knows that, that can take him and be like, this is how you become a man. This is how you become mature. We're a fucking huge, classy organization. You're not in fucking juniors with 17-year-old kids fucking jerking off on each other. Mm-hmm. We're in a fucking huge, beautiful organization.
What did you say?
Classy organization. And we're going to take him in and we're going to teach him with all these Hall of Famers that are going to come in and talk to this kid. And now we have him. We're in control. He's going to learn from our mistake. We're in control of it.
But you do.
That's what I get it.
Just to be make sure we're like explaining this properly. You're not condoning what he did. Nothing like that.
Fuck no. If I'm that girl's dad, I want to still have 5 minutes alone with him in a fucking closet and beat the fuck out of him. No doubt about it, dude. No doubt about it. But on the other hand, if you compare it to where you're at as far as like just denouncing the kid, you're done at a 18 years old. Like you fucked up again. Did you fuck up or are you a bad dude? That's where you need to do your research. I fuck up. Am I a bad dude? You're with me right now, Andy. You know how particular you are with shit. Would you be hanging out with me right now doing a podcast? We're in sync to everything. Everything we do business-wise, you're with me. I fucked up. You're with me right now.
Well, you didn't do any of that.
Well, we didn't have cameras back then. I wouldn't do it. I would not do that. But when you're young,
I've got daughters too, man.
Andy, we did crazy shit, yeah. Dude. I'm not gonna lie to you, homie. Like you can say, like we did crazy shit.
Like I've got daughters.
I know you do.
I don't need.
And I love them more than you.
And I don't need. I don't need any of that, Andy, with my daughters.
No one needs it, dude. I'm just telling you that it's. Dude, there's a lot of guys that fucked up.
Oh, I know.
Homeboy. A lot of guys, and they're doing well right now, and they figured it out, and they're good people, and they donate to charity, but they fucked up when they're 18 years old, when you move away from your family, and girls are all over you, and you do something stupid. Now, if I'm that girl, I'm embarrassed, and I feel fucking bad for her, but it's not online. No one knows who she is.
The people pull stuff off of social media and whatever that they said
back when they were teenagers. But it's not as bad as it could be. It's not as bad as it could be. Mm-hmm. It's a couple guys. No one else sees her. It's not like it's flooded everywhere where you see this poor girl, this poor little girl.
Thankfully.
Thank God. And hopefully it doesn't. If it does, I don't know. But on the other hand, it's just like I would take a chance on him and take my group of people and like fix his ass.
All I'm saying is this. You just got to make sure if you're going to take that risk, if you're going to make a selection that's going to generate this much publicity, this much attention, you better know how to like handle it and like make sure you have your person prepared. Whoever's going to be answering questions or whatever, make sure they can answer the damn questions.
You know what I'm saying? Andy, dude. What was he doing?
I don't know.
He looked like Joe Biden.
Well, hold on. You're going to flaunt that guy out in front of the cameras, in front of the media, like to talk about it?
And he's where am I? What the fuck are you doing?
I would have rather like Gary Bettman.
Oh God!
Just make the selection for Chicago. Okay, I'm gonna make the selection for Chicago, and I'm gonna make the selection for Montreal. Who are you interested to see where they go in free agency as we transition? Do you have a player you're looking forward to seeing where they land?
I don't know. I mean, Landeskog.
Oh, I forgot to tell you something.
Like, whatever happens, then I'm going to be like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. But right now I'm like, oh, I want Landeskog to go to Minnesota because I want Minnesota to be – I don't give a fuck. I don't care where he goes. If he goes to the Blues, it benefits us one way or the other. But if he goes somewhere else, like, whatever. So if he goes there, then we'll talk about it. But right now, I don't give a fuck.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. I've never shut the door on it, but –
I like that kid, though, man. He seems like a fucking awesome
kid. I mean, he's told people around him St. Louis wouldn't be his destination of choice.
I mean, here's what the Blues have. Their organization is top-notch, classy. They spent to the cap. They have a great ownership group. They want to win. Doug Armstrong's the fucking main man. Yep. The fan base here will fucking treat you like gold. Look at all the excellent alumni here. They live in St. Louis. They live in St. Louis. They live outside of St. Louis.
It's a real hockey market.
It's a great hockey market. The outskirts of St. Louis is completely attractive because it's cheap and you're still in the United States. And you could find, that's why all these alumni live out by me and by Chesterfield and shit like that.
They live out by you?
The wealthy ones do.
The alumni?
The wealthy ones do.
Who does?
Well, Ozzie Smith does. He's a Hall of Fame.
Well, used to live. Okay,
or they live by you, whatever. But it's a way.
I tell you, Blaze signed a endorsement deal
with a puppy company.
Yeah. It's called.
When you taking him over to my house?
Freely, is what.
Oh, Dave McCarthy, love you, buddy. I love Dave. From
I did a show yesterday.
He texted me. He goes, "Is Blaze? Did Andy name his dog after Sammy Blaze?" Oh fuck no, he named his dog after 420 because he's a stoner.
No.
He's like, oh, the dog's a stoner, not you.
Well, he was born on 420. Ty's favorite show was Blaze and the Monster Machine.
So I didn't know that.
He named the dog Blaze.
I said he was a stoner. Oh. Just let it be that way.
Okay.
Right. I don't mean to rip. I'm born. I did. It's easy. I just texted it to him. It's the easiest thing in the world, to be honest with you.
He looks like a leprechaun coming out of the rainforest. I love you ever seen his videos?
Yeah. He's got a nice little backyard.
He says he spends a lot of time. I talked about it on a show yesterday. He's got a beautiful backyard.
But you don't chirp him for his beauty. But you chirp me when I take a picture of my friend. No, I like the golf course.
I don't need the homecoming pictures anymore. I need to know what's going on.
Well, then don't look at it.
I need to know what's going on inside.
Come over.
You said to me last episode, all right, let's take some pictures and videos and compare. And I'll tell the people what happened. You said... Last episode, you said, fine, we'll take some videos, did he not, of the inside of the house, and then we'll compare. Remember he said that?
Yeah, so I actually, took, without updating it, I'll still do that because my house is kind of cool.
A video, sent it to you, and then I asked you, I said, your turn, and you won't
Andy, you spent $200,000 more on your house than mine.
I want to see
and, like,
the
video. You want to compare it, like, and you're going to be like, I shouldn't live here. Like, settle down. Like, you want to look at my bathroom? It's still gigantic. I have a fucking walk-in shower that has, like, 15 shower heads on it. I could fit 15. If I was single, 15 bras.
I want the video.
I did a video.
No, you didn't. It's like, oh, yeah, originally you talking did. About? But everything, the video was, like, everything you're getting rid of.
Everything I send pictures all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. You keep beaking me for my house, but yet you never even been out there. Mm. You never been out to my house. So you keep chirping it.
Are you watching the Olympics right now?
Fuck no.
Yeah, you don't have a favorite sport or favorite event?
Summer Olympics, when most of the players don't even care about representing U.S., nah, I'm not into it. Those fucking basketball players are like, we don't give a fuck. They're all, and I don't blame them because they're all in quarantine down there. They can't move.
Is that what they are? Are they in quarantine?
In Tokyo, they are in quarantine, motherfucker. Let me give you an example.
Is that the way it is? Let me give you an example. If you live in Tokyo or just for the Olympians?
Motherfucker.
Can you live in downtown Tokyo? Is that comfortable?
I don't fucking know.
Is that safe in downtown
Tokyo? What do I look like? Do I look Yakuza to you? Here's the deal. These guys, man, they go over there. They can't do a fucking thing. Anything. And basketball players, it's like, they're just not into it. This women's soccer, oh, God. But some of the, Katie Ledecky goes out there and busts her ass, and she fucking
lost yesterday.
Oh, she did lose yesterday? I think
she lost to somebody from, like,
I thought she was shit-stopping Australia. Everyone. But no one's, like, wrapping their fucking flag around there. I don't know.
It's no, there are like, some people. I saw, somebody who won in fencing, taekwondo.
Fencing, though.
Dude, they, like, make up their own sports nowadays in the Olympics. They have three-on-three basketball.
The most embarrassing thing.
Three-on-three. They're going to have a horse before you know it.
Fencing.
Surfing.
Why am I watching fencing when you can't kill each other?
Skateboarding, too, is an Olympic sport. You chirp these skateboarders that hang out outside.
They're smoking fucking dope.
You can be an Olympian.
I was a skateboarder for like a year and a half, and my dad wanted to kill me because none of those skateboarders were athletes. They just skateboard and smoke cigarettes.
Well, apparently they are athletes. Olympic athletes at that.
Not these dipshits I was hanging with. My dad's like, get the fuck away from Chaz. And I'm like, okay.
Hey,
you know, all we're doing is fucking doing crazy.
These guys are
shit.
Olympians.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about stupid Chaz. Fuck his stupid ass. My dad's like, get rid of that.
Ryan Getzlaff is on this edition. And I just want to point out, like, it's free agency. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Kind of drops a hint that, like, I think he's open to going to a different organization where to win. Like, Ryan, you can't just, like, you won earlier in your career. It's interesting because I asked him the question about Corey Perry. Like, all of a sudden he's left and he's been in the final 2 years in a row. Doesn't that make you want to go to a team where you have a chance to win? And I think it has.
Yeah.
I think Corey Perry's calling this dude and be like, look, man.
Come meet up.
I know Anaheim's great. You're going to have the rest of your life. If you're going to play, it's not fun losing all the time. It's fun being on a team that has a chance to win. You should go do that.
Well, especially over in California where you're like you're in quarantine still. It's going to be the same way. So you might as well be a winning team and just live. If I'm Ryan Getzlaff, honestly, like I'm going to ride off in the sunset however way I want to. You have enough money, mm-hmm. So go pay me cheap amount, and I want to live in a cool spot and enjoy myself with less restrictions and a chance to win. And give me $800,000.
Yeah, and he's knocking on 1,000 points.
Yeah, dude.
And he's knocking on 300 goals. I don't know if he'll get to 300 goals or not. He's at 279 right now. He's going to have to play a couple more years based on how much goal scoring he's done the last few seasons. But give yourself a chance to go play with better players.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do. You're Ryan Getzlaff. You should have the choice. Who wouldn't want to bring Ryan Getzlaff on board? Could you imagine a team
depends on the money.
Like Toronto, Vegas, who needs centers? Good. I took my son to lacrosse camp today. Ty started lacrosse.
Oh, good, dude. Yeah. Good.
I took Chloe to soccer camp.
Good.
And Ivy went to gymnastics camp. Aww. All in one day.
That's cute.
Bang, bang, bang. Three different places. And I felt safe going to all three.
Dude,
I want the people to know. Like,
no, outskirts are great in St. Louis.
I want a player, if you're listening and they're considering St. Louis, I want them to listen to this and be like, this is why I want to come, not why I don't want to come. So go ahead. Explain why a player should sign here.
Because the organization's great.
You're on the clock. Go.
Here's why you want to live in St. Louis. Not in St. Louis. You want to play for St. Louis. You don't want to live in St. Louis. Because it's cheap. You're in U.S. The fans here love you. If you retire here, you'll have a job. Somebody will fucking hire you unless you do something stupid. You'll have a job. The organization is top-notch. They're not a huge market, but they're a medium market, and Tom Stillman and his organization will spend the money to take care of you. They are top-notch with the food, with the flights, with the fucking rink, with travel,
hotels,
with hotel, with everything. Doug Armstrong is going to make you try to win every motherfucking year.
They've got an unbelievable practice facility.
Their
locker room, where they play is incredible.
It's not in St. Louis. It's way out. They have a fucking badass facility. It's the most, probably one of the nicest rinks in U.S., one of the nicest facilities in the United States.
Completely renovated the Enterprise Center downtown, too. Their locker room down there is sick.
And St. Louis boycotted that, and Tom had to put his motherfucking foot down to get that money coming in. Because they're like, we need to go to these politicians in St. Louis are so fucked up. They are so corrupt. It's sickening. And Tom had to do so much shit to get this money coming in, and he did. And now the facility is top notch. That is all great. Everything's great. The families, the fans, all that.
The restaurants,
all that, all the places you could live. Schools, oh yeah, big time schools here, and not private schools. Public schools
and
are
private
great.
Schools.
Well, you can have private schools everywhere, Andy.
I'm considering sending Ty to a private school. All boys.
Yeah,
can we talk about
that? That'd be cool. Yeah, he'll be frustrated in no time. Here's the deal. The public schools, you can go to public schools in St. Louis. Not in St. Louis, but on the outskirts. You're going to have to drive a little bit.
Okay, now back to Getzlaf.
Jesus
Christ. He's had a great career. And he's also going to be a UFA in a couple of days, so he gave us some time. We didn't want to keep him too long, right?
I know.
How good is he, though, man?
He's awesome.
He's like great player. Yeah, great. He's one of the best players of his generation.
One of my favorites.
For sure.
Yep.
He just controls the game. His hands are unbelievable. I don't know where he got those hands.
He's tough. He's big. He could do this. He's a center. He's a captain. Like, he's awesome, man. Yeah. He's a winner. He knows how to do everything. I'd take that dude on my team any day. Depends on how much money he wants.
He spends his money, too. You like those guys.
I love guys that aren't cheap. That's why when Patty tells me I'm cheap, I want to smack him in his face.
Well, you're a little bit cheap now.
Oh, yeah, Andy, when we go out anywhere, who pays for it? I had to say it.
Hey, the Camel Money Podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You want to save money? You
could
CarShield.
Well, there you go. Well, that's why I could spend money.
Yeah, 800-857-2481. Sign up today. Structure your plan. You can do a long-form plan, Cam, or you can do a short-term plan. The roller hockey was going on all weekend. CarShield had some teams out there. I think Patty was, getting into it with the refs, sniping on guys, too.
Well, you know what? People are like, well,
those poor goalies.
Some people are like, well, why is Patty playing? Dude, this is like skating with what we do, Andy, at alumni. What's the difference? He's just playing roller hockey. It's just a tournament.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I got recruited. I'm playing in the fantasy camp.
Oh, yeah. I bet you did.
Yeah, I told you that. You act like it's not true. I'm playing in the fantasy camp. So just be ready.
Does somebody pay for you?
I may.
Who did that?
I told you who it was. Jericho? I don't want to announce it yet.
Jericho?
I don't want to announce it yet. But we may be, you're on our list.
Oh, thank you.
But you haven't.
Andy, I'll be like.
I had to tell him you haven't been skating, dude, and your game isn't where it needs to be.
Andy.
So
yeah, it's not. Actually,
and you know that. So
I had a rebuttal, but then I lost.
So when are you going to start getting back on the ice in preparation?
When is that thing?
It's coming up in a month or two.
Oh, shit. I'll rollerblade around this subdivision.
Rollerblade. Yeah, you
and
do
then,
that.
Yeah,
when are you going to get back on the ice?
The Cougars are going to be like going crazy. I don't know.
When are you inviting Laurie and I to come out? You got to invite us. It's got to be a Saturday or Sunday or Friday or Saturday. Come out. We have dinner.
So you gave me rules on how to
invite
you? I don't do that.
That's how it goes.
If I got to have rules.
Bring the wife out. We're going to drink some wine. We're going to chill out. Let's sit outside.
Well, we're going to golf.
Well, she doesn't golf.
Well, she can hang with Kate and drink Bloody Marys.
No, we can golf. Oh, yeah, she'd love that.
And they could film us and chirp us all.
Can I bring Blay?
No. No, you fucking can't. I don't want a fucking another dog in my house.
Will they get along? Will your dogs attack Blay?
Hell no. They're the biggest pussies in the world.
Okay.
That's what I want. I like pussy-ass dogs.
Okay. You'd rather have a soft dog than a hardcore?
I like a pussy dog.
Wasn't your old dog when you lived right off the highway back in the day? I know you say I live on the highway, but I don't live on the highway. But your old house was right off the highway, right?
And off Highway 44,
yes,
way down.
Your old house.
Yeah, but the highway's in the middle of nowhere because Eureka's 30 miles away from St.
Louis.
Wasn't
that dog a little bit
crazy,
dangerous?
Yep, and that's why my parents have him now.
And how's he doing?
Oh, they're probably going to get sued, but no, I'm
why? Sorry. Did something happen?
No, hell no. No, she's fine. No, it's all good. We couldn't take her to St. Albans, though.
Just for the record, you've been spilling stuff everywhere today.
Yeah, I know. Well, you rile me up when you tell me, like, you argue with me about, like, things like...
Well, it was long before that, like, that you were spilling everything.
I hit something, and it fell down. Oh, and the carpeting's disgusting in here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
All right, 800-857-2481. Mention that promo code CAM. You're going to save 10%. And, again, you never know when something's going to go down in your car. You're never prepared for it. It comes out of nowhere. You just,
it's so embarrassing.
You're not prepared for it.
And you can pick out your own shit. Like,
yeah. Oh, like, rental car, right where you take it to get it worked on. Easy your peasy, mechanic. Baby. These are the best people that you will ever work with. You have our stamp of approval and our guarantee on that. 800-857-2481. CarShield and CarShield.com, baby. How about Behlmann.com? BehlmannN.com. I mean, you think about car dealers. You think about good people. Now, they're way out of town. Like, you live out of town, they're in, like, the safest area you can possibly go to.
Okay? I bet you if we look right now, because we're kind of close to downtown right now, if you did a Google Maps where I live and where Behlmann's at, it's probably the same distance.
Yeah, same distance. Yeah.
I could look over the River Valley and see them.
Yeah, it's not far at all, actually.
Yeah, we're in Goodville.
Great location.
Goodville.
And you have great people there that are ready to take care of you. They treat you like they're you're their own, really, when you walk in there in terms of how they treat you.
No swinging dicks cruising around that place.
No, they got a bunch of selection, too. Incredible selection of new cars, pre-owned cars. They've got the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. And then right on the other side of the street, Cam, you've got the Cadillac, Buick, GMC. So we're talking lots of selection. And again, the best customer service you will find anywhere. Dan Behlmann, this guy is an incredible individual. Supports hockey like no other. Does.
Charity work, all that shit here. Yeah.
And he's been involved with hockey and supporting the Blues and other charitable efforts here in St. Louis for decades, man. So we appreciate his support that we have here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Go there. Feel safe. You can send your girl there by herself and everything. No issue.
See how funny
it's not like going to the bathroom at the concert, you know? Like,
no, like at the concert, just there might be a creep. I just get kind of worried about that a little bit. That's all good. See, I take care of my wife. Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe you should do that. She probably walks you to the fucking bathroom.
She walks me there. Well, you just got to wear your daredevil hockey gear, too. That'll protect you.
Yeah, it will. I mean, so I tried to stab you. You're good.
Well, that'll give you some protection. Get that Kevlar cut-resistant material. All the kids are doing it. You should, too. Take care of your son or daughter that is getting into hockey, that's been in hockey, or maybe for you who's like playing men's league. I went to Stick and Puck the other day. I thought you were on the ice, that dude with the short sleeves.
He wasn't jacked enough.
I mean, it looked like you. I mean,
hey, don't take a picture.
I didn't take the picture. It was through the glass.
I know, but I'm looking through. Like, Andy takes a picture.
I didn't take it.
It's a cute. You had somebody take it of you. Was it Ty with you?
Ty was with me and my nephew.
Cute kids.
So my brother was in town. Everything he took the picture.
Everything are cute. Yeah. But when you have somebody take a picture through the fucking plexiglass.
Can't do it.
With smart. You look like it. I know. I couldn't even see your
face. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Tell them to open the door up and take it.
That's what I said.
Well, then tell them.
I know.
And then why am I getting made fun of when you take a stupid picture? I don't get it.
That's how it works.
I caught it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Cute picture, though.
Thank you, man.
Although,
appreciate that.
Cute kids.
It was like a big deal for like my little guy to skate with his big nephew for the first time.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Honestly, when I see him on the ice, it puts a smile on my face, man. It honestly does.
Yeah. So again, Daredevil Hockey. Mention the promo code CAM and Strick. All caps. You're going to save a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And it's worth it, man. Honestly, invest in safety. Invest in the protection. The number one cause of emergency room visits in hockey is what?
Cut, baby.
Skate lacerations.
Yeah, dude.
Don't be the next statistic.
Look at these kids, man. They're falling over each other.
I know they are.
Look at Ty when he's cruising around with the kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're falling each other. And they're
all
like,
the time.
They don't realize they have weapons on their or their feet. Yes. And then they step on each other. They don't know.
No.
So, just protect them, guys. That's right. Like, it's not that expensive. It's just not.
No, I think that's good. That's probably the best thing you said in this entire
intro. I'm sorry to be so, like, you kind of got me riled up. I'm sorry, guys. I swear to God, I love all you guys. I am a realist. And if you want to come back and, like, text me on my shit and, like, correct me on things, I will listen to you. I swear to God.
A little dramatic today.
Go ahead and sit.
You know who doesn't suck is Ryan Getzlaff, man. And he gave us some time just a couple of days before free agency starts. He's got a lot on his mind, a lot on his plate. Busy guy. He's got four kids.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude is constantly going
from point A
to point B to point C. And, again, he gave us some time, so we appreciate that. Future Hall of Famer.
I think so. Absolute stud.
Oh, I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
That amplifies
he won a
it.
Cup. He's won a World Cup. He's won two Olympic gold medals, World Junior gold medal.
So how does that break down? So here's my point. If he didn't win a cup, how many more points would he have to get to See, that's a big deal. Yeah. 200
yeah.
more?
Yeah. 100. If he didn't have the cup, I think, pushes everything. Him over the edge.
Yep.
You know, he's never won a... I don't think he's won an individual player award. You know, he's been like a second team All-NHL performer and stuff like that. I think he finished second in the Hart Trophy voting 1 year, where he had like 66 assists or something like that. And he finished second in scoring behind Sidney Crosby that year, who won the Hart Trophy. Yeah, so... Again, but the Stanley Cup, man, that and plus he's just been such a great player for so long. So
he's tough.
I think he gets in. And he
captain.
Is tough. Yep.
I hope he does, because I like tough players.
Big part of Team Canada, Hockey Canada for years, man.
It's just like you have to, if you don't win a cup, you better put up a lot of points if you want to get in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, let me put it to you this way. And I don't mean, I'm not like disrespecting anybody, but like we just had Guy Carboneau on. Great player. Played for some great teams. I think he won 3 Stanley Cups.
Yeah, he did.
Is he a better player than Ryan Getzlaff?
I don't know.
He's not.
No, he's not.
Not. He's a good defensive forward, obviously, one of the best, whatever.
But what did he do?
No, he won a lot. I mean, listen, he won a bunch of Selkies. He won a bunch of Stanley Cups.
Stanley Cups.
You know, so he won those individual player awards. Great player, but I'd have a hard time leaving
it's
out
It's not individual Ryan. Player award. It's more like you win a cup, it amplifies you.
Correct, but if he wins like a Hart Trophy, you win like, you know, defenseman win the Norris,
whatever. What about Pierre Turgeon? Pierre Turgeon with 1,400 points, not in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
How many awards did he win? Probably a lot.
I don't know if he ever won an individual award.
You don't think so?
I don't know. You're putting me on the spot to think about that. I'm pretty sure he did.
I didn't mean to do that because we. But the point is, like, you have to. If you win a cup,
you got to have something to pad your resume. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Like, I was a leader and I fucking figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Either he wasn't a leader of that team in 2007.
But like, in fairness. For the discussion talking about Pierre Turgeon, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So it's like...
But he's not.
You know.
But he's not.
But if you put Getzlaff in, does that mean you got to put Perry in? Like, are they like...
Where are they at? They're right there, aren't they? Yeah, you do then. And you do.
Perry's won a Hart.
He's... Yeah.
And he won a Rocket. He scored 50 plus goals look at 1 year. Points.
Yeah. No, they're going to the same. Oh, well, that'd be cute.
Those two. Going together.
Yeah. Aw.
Well, he just talked to Perry the other day. Two. You never know. Maybe.
The worm.
No, you never know. Maybe he and Perry will sign together.
That'd be cool.
Although people are like speculating about like Suter and Parise again. Like, oh, why do
Jersey?
They,
or no, Island? The Islanders,
like, why do they have to keep doing that? And then I'm told yesterday, like, that's not happening.
Well, Lou ain't going to sign for 4 years with Suter.
Probably
you
not.
You reported that.
Yes.
Like you always do. Can I give you a shout out? Because I haven't done it yet.
Sure.
On this. I chirp Andy a lot. I even went out to a concert and a bunch of people coming up to me and they're like, a couple people said, I'm too hard on you.
Mm.
And most people don't say that, but a couple people did. It kind of, I'm like, damn. And they're like, you didn't let him talk. And I'm like, I think that's the guy. He didn't let me talk. But then I think about it and another guy said it.
Mm.
So you don't let him talk enough and you're chirping them too much. And I kind of sat back in my seat and I like got my mind right again. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine. But then I thought about it. It kind of rattled me all night. So here's my point with you. I chirp you a lot. You deserve a lot of it. Sometimes you don't, but you've been busting your motherfucking ass last couple of weeks, baby. You don't have the athletic behind you. You got your own fucking thing.
Oh, I thought you meant athleticism.
Listen to me. No, well, you're not athletic. Cause I got some athleticism. The most non-athletic human being I've ever seen in my fucking life. Love you. But you've been fucking breaking shit because of organic relationships, not because of a fucking organization's telling you to call people because they have to fucking connect with you. You do this all organically. You have your own connections, and I got to give you a tip of the cap, man. You busted your ass, and you fucking break. You're the real deal, man, when it comes to that shit, homie. I don't act like I don't know shit about anything when it comes to that stuff. You are the real fucking deal, and I'm sorry about chirping you. I love you.
Mm. I appreciate that.
I know, man. I gotta say, I was rattled. Couple of my buddies are like,
they were saying that to you.
They're like, you're too hard. I'm like, God damn it.
Mm.
I'm like, you fucking pissing me off. He's like, you stop. Well, just let him. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, okay. And then I know this week I've been pumping your tires up on a radio, which doesn't mean anything on a podcast, but I told you, man, you got to bear it down. This is your time to shine. This is where you know all the GMs, you know all the fucking owners, you know all the fucking inside motherfuckers without having a big entity telling you what to do, and you reported more things than I don't know, except for maybe some of the big guys. You did more than anybody did, and I just want to give you a shout-out. I do it on the radio, and I just want to do it on the podcast. Mm. So
okay.
But fuck your stupid
ass. Appreciate that. And tell your friends to call me, and we can talk about that.
I'm just joking. They said, nah. No, they did. They kind of rattled me a little bit.
Yeah, you good.
And some chick said it, too. And I'm like,
oh, really? See?
And she was hot. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, what is this?
Kate
looks at me, and she's like, oh my God.
That's why I hate having these conversations about, like, Logan Malou and stuff. Like, I'd rather talk about...
No, it's nothing to do with that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying...
It's about boats
I know that. Oh,
it's about boats and stuff. It's nothing to do with that stuff.
But I'm just saying, like, I'd rather just, like, not get into... You can't win on some of that stuff, man.
I got to give my opinion on things.
I agree.
Okay,
but I'm just saying. It's like, let's just like not have a whole lot.
Okay, you're,
But you're going to have controversy.
Time out.
You're going to have controversy.
You're thinking way too far into it. It's about me chirping you about you trying to tell me a stupid fuck story about you fighting a bear in fucking Yellowstone. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
No,
or
it was
you
in,
doing,
I know. It was in Yosemite.
That's what they...
You knew I ran into a bear.
Did you see that story,
that grizzly that followed that man around in Alaska?
Yeah, I know. He was hurt. Yeah.
No, he would attack him and then like leave.
Yep. And he got hurt.
He didn't kill him, though.
Because he's fucking with... Because they want him dead. They wait for you to die, and then they eat you. They want rotten food.
They won't kill you?
Or they think they are killing you? No, they want you to rot. They want you to rot, and then they eat you. And so it's... So they fuck with you, man, and they kind of feel with their bearings.
Are bears that smart to know that they're doing that?
100%.
They rip the door off of his little cabin.
And they bears are like... you know when you have a puppy dog and it comes and sneaks into a room that they don't know? And they're, I mean, what's going on here? What's going on here? So if you have a campground, the bear comes in and smell, where's the food? And they'll look at you and be like, I'll fucking call you real quick. What's up? Let me touch you. Let me eat you. Just like a shark does. Usually sharks, people die because they bite. Shark will bite you. They don't like what they eat, but your fucking calf's gone and you bleed out.
Yeah.
Bears are kind of like that too. Really? Yeah, they are. And so,
you know all this about bears? Have you studied bears or something? Like, you know, like the bear psychology?
We'll be corrected. I mean, it's out there. It's correct.
I mean, apparently,
am I wrong with sharks and all that?
The brain chemistry of bears, you know exactly what they're thinking.
I don't know about the trade value of fucking the guy from the fourth round, but I kind of know a little bit about this stuff.
So they're following this guy around, and he survived, and like this helicopter. I saw him like a SOS. What, you know what SOS stands for?
It means help me.
Okay, that's exactly what it means.
Fucking help me. Jesus Christ.
So they see him, SOS, come down. And now, real quick before we get to guest laugh, like the traumatic, like post-traumatic syndrome, this guy is, will he ever recover from that?
Yeah, well, do Marines recover? They do. So you get attacked by a bear, it's like getting a car accident. You get attacked by a bear, it's like getting shot at and fucking... In Syria back in the day, and all of a sudden you're hunkered down.
I'm dealing with a little bit from when Chloe and I ran into the bear. The whole family did, but they were behind us.
People feel sorry for you, Andy.
Well, when I ran into the bear, it was because I kept talking about it. I feel like I made it happen.
So knowledgeable on so many different things outside of hockey.
Do you believe in that? Like maybe I made that happen because we kept talking about the fact that I was going to run into a bear. Or like I'm scared of bears. I'm frightened by bears.
You should be frightened by a lot of things. I'm looking at your body right now. You haven't been working out. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I need to get.
You need to start fucking pumping up just a little bit.
I know. Just get back to being
like you don't do. What do you do all day?
No, I know.
Why don't you do fucking push-ups all day?
I know.
Do push-ups and wrestle around fucking.
Because I was really getting big at one point. I was getting jacked.
No,
at one point. Now I'm just kind of.
No, you weren't. You were never jacked.
Skinny again.
You never looked athletic. I kind of want you to like help our brand a little.
It's
bit.
It's the shirt too. It makes me like look like it's like
yeah.
Okay. All right, we appreciate it. All right, Ryan Getzlaf.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, number 15.
He's jacked.
Used to be number 51 when he came into the league. I forgot to ask him about that, but nonetheless, he changed it to 15. And a longtime captain of Anaheim. How long will he be with Anaheim? I don't know.
I'd take him on
Enjoy
my team
this
in 2 seconds, man.
On the Cam and Strick podcast.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan. What are you doing, man? What are you up to?
Just living the dream, bud. I'm carting my kids around.
We got, you know, we got to talk about Regina and everything else, you know,
Saskatchewan.
So, great spot.
What are you doing right now? Are you just like hanging out? Like, where do you chill during the off season?
Yeah. So we're in California still. We live in Orange County, so we're just, we've been partnering around here and, my kids are just, the sports has been crazy. So my oldest is playing, he's in an all-star baseball thing that's been going for the last 3 weeks. So we're just kind of, we're on his schedule right now.
Isn't that nice, though, man, just to, like, watch your kids grow and play and even get into other sports? Like, did you encourage that? Is it all hockey in the family, or are you just, like, just do whatever the hell you guys want and just be an athlete?
Yeah, honestly, it's been a blessing. Both my older ones both played hockey for a few years, and then they both actually stopped 2 years ago, and they play football and baseball and soccer, and it's actually great because they get to be themselves at the rink. They were always my kid, and so when they're at the other sports, it seems like they can just go and be Ryder or Gavin and enjoy themselves. So it's been fun to watch.
Man, that's amazing. I saw like a video though of like your oldest kid. I think it was your oldest kid like sniping on somebody during like a shootout or whatever. Is that the is that the kid that quit?
Yeah, he stopped. Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd he quit? Well,
he wanted to do other stuff, and that was that's perfectly fine with me as long as they're doing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what don't you want them to do? Like just sit in the basement and look up fucking shit on the computer? Like what do you guys like? They have to do. They have to have some sort of vision.
Video games.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Video games are my nemesis. I can't stand them. I think it's the laziest thing. Like I'm, and then actually the worst thing in the world is when kids are watching other people play video games.
Oh, my God.
That's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, I've done that.
Ryan, we know people that do that. Like, blues players, they do, like, competitions. They get on chats. I mean, it's crazy. This is what they do, like, during their off time. And you probably see it, too, with these young kids. I've got three kids. We don't have a video game system in my house.
Now, hold up.
I don't have one.
Now, hold on. No. Time out, both of you
guys. Cam plays.
No, both of you stop. When you're playing, when you're fucking playing hockey and you're grinding it, and the downtime you have, if you don't have fucking kids, either I'm going to the goddamn bar and sniffing around, or I'm sitting and locking myself in a room and play a video game for 4 hours and not getting fucked up. So in a way, it does help.
Well, just for the record, I'm old school, so I'd prefer you to be at the bar sniffing around and then come tell me about it.
I did that anyway. I did that after the
fight. I don't want to hear the stories about the kids getting kills in freaking video games overnight.
I know, man.
I hear you, I know. Man.
Hey, weren't you like a big time? I mean, first of all, your brother played in the CFL. Maybe he still plays or whatever. So he's an athlete, obviously. But weren't you like a really good baseball player back in the day? And like football, like is it Canadian football or like American football?
Yeah, I played everything. It was. I'm a big believer in playing all sports. Yep. I think that you learn so many different things. You learn from so many different people and how to deal with different groups and stuff like that. So I like that aspect. And I'm just a believer in being outside and being busy. I think that team sports are great. And I'm just excited that my kids are into that stuff. It makes it a lot easier to relate to.
Dude, we agree 100%, man. I played everything. I went wrestling. Yeah. Oh, I tell Andy, I love Andy's kids more than I like Andy, to be honest with you. And I tell him I want his kid to get into wrestling and shit like that, man. Wrestling just makes shit like this. Everything, every school sport that you can play, if you're an athlete, just get into it. Not to mention, everybody at school looks up to you if you're an athlete and you're playing every sport. All the girls look up to you. You're the fucking, you're the dude on campus. It's like, it's just, and then you learn how to meet different people and how to become an athlete. So, man, I like your style, dude. We completely agree with that, don't we, Andy?
Yes, we do. We do. Although I was a better athlete than Cam, just so you know, Gatsby. Yeah, it's not hard to believe.
You were, eh?
Of course he was. Just look at him.
Not hard to believe. Hey, man, can we talk about your hair back in the day since we're like... we're getting that into that already. Your hair, when did you start like all of a sudden like losing that incredible flow that you had back in 2003? Because I don't really remember that Getzlaff as much, and those pictures that have been circulated recently around the draft.
Yeah, she was a little different back then. I started losing it just shortly after that. It was the draft, actually, I had a pretty thick hair, but shortly after that she started diminishing, and then it's been all downhill since. I hung on for a little while there until when it clicks is when they do all those overhead photos when you're on for the anthem, and you're just like, oh god, it's bad.
Getzy, listen, I remember looking at myself in the fucking mirror. Stressed out, got sent down. I have money. I'm spending so much fucking money. I got house payments. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, my hair is literally falling out as I'm watching it. I was so stressed out. And then I get into a fight, and my helmet comes off, and then the video, and I'm like, oh, I'm fucking bald. I have a bald spot in the back of my head, and it just kept going and kept going. And then, like, you just think about it. Ah. But who cares with you, though, man? Just shave it at that point, right?
Well, that's what my mentality was, is just finally I was like, okay, I got to just get rid of this. I'm holding on to a dream, and it wasn't working.
You got other dreams. You're
you had,
good.
Listen, you you had the skullet going there for a little while there. I guess I did. I saw that video with you and Tamu doing my world class research preparing for the interview. Yeah. Yeah. And so, so you kept it for a little bit. Like you were hanging on to that. You tried different hairstyles with it, kind of like Cam has done.
Andy, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, it was fucking brutal. I went to like the kind of little mohawk thing, trying to like, you try to fill the gaps. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. But, hey, were you staring at the mirror with gel and you're like, okay, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to put this hair over there and then this one. Good God. It's fucking miserable.
And then you get the Sharpie out and try and fill it in.
I know, man. But no matter what you do, man, like, I mean, no one's going to chirp you. Like,
handsome bugger.
Absolutely. So what was life?
I get chirped all the time for my hair. Are you kidding me?
Does it happen on the ice a lot? What about Shaddy? Does people chirp Shaddy too or no?
He's got a cul-de-sac.
I've been trying to get Shaddy on. I've been trying to get him to let go for the last, ever since he got here. I'm like, buddy, let's just shave it. Like, it's time.
He's not letting that go.
No, it's not, man.
He's had that since he was here in St. Louis. I mean, he's just been, he's hanging on to it. It's got to be difficult just to, like, let it go. But people don't chirp you on the ice for that, do they?
Well, not as much anymore. I used to get a lot of chirps about, but it, that, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm bald.
Yeah, so what else you got, motherfucker? I got fucking 1,000 points. Get out of here. They chirp me for my bald spot. Then they chirp me for my game. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I'm depressed for 2 weeks.
Hey, except then you were like, yeah, well, I'll beat the wheels off you. So.
That's, yeah. And then, yeah, well, hey, then I get suspended for 2 days.
Hey, what was life for you growing up? Like, what kind of family you come from and all that? Like, is the life you live now, like the flashy cars and everything? And we're going to talk about your modern farmhouse because I got one too. I want to talk about your crib.
Get out of here.
But, I mean, is that like way different than how you grew up?
Yeah, just slightly a little bit different than growing up in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan?
Yeah, just a little bit.
What'd your mom and dad
still
do?
Lives in the same house we grew up in. So my mom worked for the same job. She just retired after 42 years or 43 years.
Wow.
She worked for the phone company in Canada. And then my dad was a carpenter and electrician. So a normal family, but very athletic. My parents both played sports, and obviously my brother had a good career in football, and
when you made coin, were you in there still grinding it? Were you like, you know what, guys, why don't you guys chill? When you signed your first big ticket, were you like, did you give them money? Like, how'd that, were family members coming after you? I mean, you're still from a small town and shit like that. Like, how'd that all go down?
No, my family's been good. I mean, you know, I think when I first signed, I paid off my mom's house and I bought my dad a truck, and that was kind of my first initial thing that I was able to do. And then I bought myself a car the following year, and I gave my brother my truck. And so it's been I've been lucky enough and blessed to help them where I can, and my dad retired from his job, and we tried to open a little shop for him to keep working in carpentry just so he could enjoy himself. And so it's been good.
Okay, so when do you feel comfortable as a player, like, to start buying nice things? Like, because I don't know if young guys feel comfortable with that right off the bat because you got veteran guys and whatever. Or was it never an issue? Like, you just said, hey, you know what? I'm starting to make money. I'm gonna treat myself.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of – it all evolves as you go along. I think that the nice stuff that I thought was nice when I was 18 is a lot different than the nice stuff I think now. You know, I think I bought an H2 Hummer was my first truck that I bought. So.
Horrible truck.
Not quite the same as what I think is nice now and what I've purchased over the years now. So
what are you driving in now while you're talking to us?
I'm in a Ford F-250.
Nice.
Oh, that's good old country boy, Andy. You like that? He's probably got a dually back there too with a ball sack hanging out in the back of the trailer.
The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on and you know right off the bat you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Now back to the interview.
When did you know you were good, though, Getsy? Like, when did you, were you like, I'm fucking toe dragging cats. I just grew 3 inches. I'm fucking doing my shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, honestly, there was never any kind of a moment. I just, you know, I loved playing hockey and I loved playing baseball. And then, you know, when I got to be 16 and I went to junior camp, I think in junior, I got drafted in May or whatever it is, or June at 5'10". And when I went to camp, I was 6'2" in September. So that was a big summer that I grew. And that was kind of when I made my decision that I was going to go try and play hockey. And I had to give up baseball at that point. So, and then, you know, and then from there, like even in junior, like I wasn't a big, huge point guy. I wasn't, you know, I got 65 points or whatever. I wasn't a 100 point guy. I just, developed there and had a good time in Calgary. And then, you know, every time I showed up somewhere, I just tried to make the team. And then, you know, I did the same thing in Anaheim.
Ryan, I love the story of how they took the C off your jersey in junior because you were chirping the refs too much. I mean, is that the real story? Is that what's going on? Listen, it's in your Wikipedia, so it has to be true. Mm-hmm. Did they take the C away from you in junior for just a few weeks because you kept getting, like, suspended and stuff because you were going after the refs and chirping the refs? Like, what's the story there?
No, it had nothing to do with the refs. I honestly, to tell you the truth, I can't really remember. There was an incident that happened. Something happened. I think we were out one night or something, and
of course
we might have missed curfew or something, so it was like a punishment kind of thing, or I honestly don't even remember, to tell you the truth.
Why do you think you dropped down to 19? Like, that makes no sense. Like, did you feel like you were going to go higher heading into the draft, or no?
I did, in a way. It was, you know, the whole draft experience was kind of weird. You do all those interviews and you're going through all that stuff when you're a young kid, and you really don't. You're sitting in a room with 13 people staring at you and trying to talk to them and trying to say the right thing, but trying to be yourself and all the other stuff. So it makes it a weird process. But I had a call. I think I had a call the night before with my agent, and basically the Rangers had said that if I was there, they were going to take me, and they were at 11. So that was kind of where I thought I was going to end up. And then they took that Hugh Jesserman. And then from there, I had no idea. I was just kind of like, all right, well, whatever happens, happens. And then obviously it turned out to be a blessing.
Hugh Jesserman? How'd he become?
Hold on. Is this the same agent that gave you his Escalade for you to take the prom back in high school?
It is. Yep. Same agent.
Who was your agent? Who's your agent?
Jerry Johansson.
Ah, okay.
At TSC.
Yeah. I know Jerry. Great guy.
Yeah. Still been with Jerry.
Yeah, you've been with him forever. So, all right. Yeah. So the good news, though, when you drop to 19, like, you come into a good team. You don't have to, like, all of a sudden retool, rebuild, and all of a sudden, you know, suck for like 5 or 6 years. You got a chance to win. Did you know right away when you walked in, like, that team was you know, as stacked as it was in Anaheim?
Well, I mean, my first year when I went to training camp was a little bit different. I got cut the first year, and then we had the lockout year. And then I think after that, it was kind of, I was going into that next training camp with the mentality that I was going to stay there. And we brought Scotty Niedermayer in, and they had that same team from a couple years before, or a lot of the same guys. So Sergei Fedorov was here, Sikora, a lot of guys that I knew had, you know, that were decent players, you know?
Yeah. I remember playing against you in 05. You were still in Portland. You got called back up, but God, how was Sergei? We're trying to get him on the pod, by the way. We get everybody, but he's, you know, over in Russia, but was he a cool cat? I know that was just kind of a weird year for him one way or the other, but was he down to earth? Did you hang out with him?
I actually did a little bit. Sergei, me and him got along pretty well. He took us over to his house one time, and but yeah, he was in a little different situation there. He came back, he was hurt a lot. It was a different experience for me. Obviously, he was a pretty big superstar at that time, driving Ferraris and all that kind of stuff. So it was cool to kind of watch him.
Who got you into the cars and the Ferrari? You mentioned Ferraris. I mean, was it Timu Solani or was it like Fedorov? Yeah. Like, when did you all of a sudden like get the itch for the cars?
Yeah, well, I always loved cars. I've always driven things and stuff. I drove motorbikes and all that kind of crap growing up. But Timo's really been the biggest influence, I think, off the ice as far as, you know, how to enjoy life, how to be, you know, enjoy Orange County, all that kind of stuff. Timo got me into cars, cigars, golf, all that kind of stuff. So,
well, cars, like, if you live in Anaheim, you could drive whatever the fuck you want, Andy. Like, you're not living in Saskatchewan. You can't have a Ferrari up there, baby. So I remember watching with like 26-inch rims on a Bentley.
Yeah, I've had some pretty cool cars. I've been pretty fortunate over the years, that's for sure.
Okay, so how long do you hang on to them? Like, are you flipping them out, like, left and right? Or, like, you hang on to them? You know, how many cars will you have at once?
Well, I was fortunate enough. I ran into a couple guys. I invested in a car dealership for a little while. So I used to just take cars home from the dealership all the time. So I had a lot of different, I only ever bought, you know, I had an Aston Martin DBS, a Rolls Royce Ghost, a few cars like that, that I had that were mine for a while. But normally I, you know, after in the last 10 years, I've just been taking cars home from the dealership and, been fortunate that way to kind of just, I usually keep them for a week and a half or so. And then, unless we sell it, then I send it back.
Yeah, I usually keep them for a week, and I give them away because I give to charity.
So is that what it is?
Yeah, because, you know, it is what it is. Hey, explain, though, to me, you're in Anaheim, you're popular, although people know you, but they don't know you there. Like, explain the setup after a game. It's a Saturday night. Do you guys go to the beach? Is there, like, beach parties going on? Like, what are you guys doing when you were young?
Oh, I was going to say, now I go
home.
Fuck
no. No, no, you're watching your kid play now. I'm talking back in the day.
No, back in the day, it was awesome. Honestly, Anaheim, just a great place to play because you kind of have the best of both worlds. We had enough clout, so to speak, to go down to Newport and kind of get whatever we wanted, get in and wherever we wanted. But people kind of left you alone, and there's enough going on down here and enough money rolling around this town that people never really never bothered you very much, that's for sure. And nobody definitely wanted to talk about hockey when you were out.
Yeah. Hey, you're a peasant compared to them.
What's the competition between Anaheim and the LA Kings? Like, do the players like run into each other? And I mean, how's everybody fighting for the fan base, even though you guys are in two different areas?
Yeah, I mean, it's the rivalry is pretty cool with the fan base. They all they're kind of on opposite sides of whatever it is, but they, you know, the hardest thing is being in Orange County and LA County for that matter. You have to win, otherwise fans just aren't around. It's you got to keep your fan base. There's so many other things you can be doing that if you're not winning, you see it disappear pretty quickly. Aside from your diehards that we both have in our organizations for sure.
All right, I want to go back real quick to when you won the cup because I didn't really get into this question. But like Pronger, we know Prongs pretty well. Obviously, being a St. Louis guy and he lives here and whatever, and he was on recently. But like when he came into the room, Getsy, like you hadn't played anything internationally with him yet, I don't believe. Like, how well did you know him, and like, how did his personality like fit in right off the bat?
It was good. I mean, obviously, so we played against Prongs in the conference final when he was in Edmonton the year before, and then it was like, so that summer was when we got him. It was like, okay, we're trying to win the cup this year. It was kind of a message to the whole team, I think, and Prongs brings that certain expectation when he walks in the room, that's for sure. I always got along with him because I'm not afraid to kind of go back and forth with him, and nothing really hurts my feelings. So Chris is an abrasive guy that you know, has certain expectations that he expects, and he's going to compete. And that was kind of something to get used to with him, was the competing in practice. And he's going to be just as hard on you in practice as he is on the other team in the game. So
do you guys win the cup without him? Like, did you need that mentality in the room to help get you guys over the hump?
I would never say we don't need anybody on that team. Yeah. It was a pretty well put together team. That was, you know, when you're talking, but I mean, you're also talking about having two of the top three defensemen of that decade on your team. So, you know, aside from Nicky Lindstrom, those were the two guys. It was him and Niedermeyer. So, and we had both of them, which was a nice touch.
And you guys were tough too, man. You got Mayday, you got Jargy out there cruising around. Like, you guys had a little bit of – that was the coolest team to win in a while, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You had a balance of everything. You and Corey Perry fucking doing your shit. You had the tough guys. You had Prongs. You had a little bit of everything. Berkey doing his shit. Like, you guys were a fun team to watch. You absolutely were.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, that's the way I grew up and learned how to win and learned how to play was, you know, if you're losing the game, you were going to fight your way out of the building. And if you needed a spark, you were going to fight. And if you weren't, then you could play a little skilled game too. So it was a fun way to play back then. That's for sure.
All right. How was Berkey? I can't imagine like he hasn't tried to trade for you like a half dozen times since he left Anaheim and all these different spots that he's been in, even though obviously you weren't leaving. But what was he like to play for?
Yeah, always had a great relationship with Berkey. He was fair to us. You know, anyone who's had him knows that he kind of sticks up for his players, and he, you know, he's kind of fun to have around the room. So, and again, he carries a lot of the same beliefs that I do and the way the game should be played and the things you should be answering for and stuff like that. So always had a great respect and relationship with him.
Time to talk a little bit about Daredevil Hockey, the ultimate in performance plus protection. Daredevil is a lightweight compression-based layer designed with Kevlar cut-resistant fabric overlays that protects all the vulnerable areas of the upper and lower body from skate lacerations. Get yours now. www.daredevilhockey.com. Use that promo code Cam and Strick. You'll save 25%. Yeah, now back to the interview.
Let's go.
All right, let me ask you this. Like, all these great duos, Gretzky, Curry, I mean, Mario Lemieux, Jagr, Kane and Taves, Crosby, Malkin, I mean, all the great twosomes in the history of the league. Like, and people mention you and Perry. Like, what is your relationship? How much do you guys embrace that, and how much do you respect the opportunity to be able to play as, you know, with him as long as you did?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know what? I've always said me and Perry, you know, became best friends and still have a great relationship today. I just talked to him 2 days ago, and it was so fun to be able to go through that with somebody. You know, we went through all the ups and downs of winning and getting sent to the minors and all that kind of stuff. And I think it just made both our lives a lot easier. Those people that don't know about players going up and down, sometimes it gets lonely when you're in a hotel all the time. And it was just nice to be able to go through that with somebody and kind of grow as a player and compliment each other on the ice too. So, which was a fun thing. I mean, he did get me in a little more, a few more fights than I probably needed to at a younger age, but that was part of it.
No, I wanted to kill him, Ben Jr.
I love watching him play too. I mean, I love him, but watching him the last couple of years now being the Stanley Cup final, like, does that give you the itch a little bit, Getsy? I know a lot of people just assume you're going to stay in Anaheim, but how badly would you love the opportunity to be on a team that has a chance to win again?
Yeah, that's what we've, you know, I've been going back and forth and talking out with my family, all those kind of things, is that it definitely has created an itch for sure, seeing what he's been able to go and do and be a part of in other organizations and kind of see how the world, the hockey world is outside Anaheim. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, I got free agency starting on Wednesday here, and me and my wife and my kids are going to take some time and talk through it all, I'm sure. So I've never been a free agent before, so it should be fun.
Oh, we're excited to see what happens. I think I know how this explanation is going to go, or the conversation is going to go with your wife. She's going to be like, well, we lived in Anaheim, which is 72 degrees every single day and sunny. But Edmonton wants us. She's probably like, I ain't fucking going there, homeboy. Like, is that how it goes down?
No, you know what? You'd be actually shocked. My wife, she grew up here, and but she's, you know, she sees opportunities too, where she can, you know, grow and experience something that she may never be able to do. You know, it's different when your job forces you to go somewhere else, as opposed to just making a decision to, hey, we're gonna up and move to somewhere. So she's been very supportive. We talked a lot, obviously, at the trade deadline last year, and so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so how close were you to get moved at the deadline? Because you kept hearing about Vegas and whatever.
Yep.
And how much longer you want to play, Ryan? How much hockey you have left in you?
I don't know. You know, I'm going to take it a year at a time. Last year was so miserable.
Oh,
my God. You know, with the season we had and then all the COVID crap and protocols and everything else, it wasn't enjoyable. So it's kind of hard to judge how we want to be and how I want to move forward and my passion for the game and all that stuff. So I'm just kind of going to try and play this year and see how it goes.
I mean, it must have been miserable too, and especially in California too, which is extra strict when it comes to this stuff. And we know we get the game, but like when you look at other places where it's kind of open and it was kind of loosened up, and then you guys still have to go through the different. So the whole NHL was divided up in so many different factions where this area is fine, that area is not. I mean, was it confusing for you? Was it frustrating? Were you like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I was. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. We were lucky enough to get to play and have a job at that time because a lot of people didn't. But it was miserable. It was honestly all the things I love about the game, the passion, the fans, the, you know, dinners out with the guys, all that kind of stuff was just gone. And you were just stuck in a hotel. You walk over to the rink, you play in front of nobody. You
robot.
Put your skates back on. And yeah, like you get in a fight and you turn around and there's nobody cheering. You're like, okay, American League. Well, that's sweet. Yeah, you're like, sweet. I just got punched in the face and I got no adrenaline. I got nothing.
Yep.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I know, man.
Hey, what's it like though when you're a great player? You're a great player. I mean, listen, I think you're a Hall of Famer. I think you're heading down that road for sure. But you have so much. You know, so many things to accomplish, right? You still got to get to 1,000 points. You're knocking on the door. There are some other stats and whatever. I don't know how important those are to you, but like, what's it like knowing you're getting close to the end, but you've got a family, you got to try to balance everything you're trying to, you know, thinking about your future.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun. You know what? I've been very fortunate and very lucky, to be able to play in one place my whole career so far. And, you know, and this is just another chapter, another new experience, I think, that adds a little excitement and, you know, and I think that I'm going to play as long as my body lets me and enjoy my family while I'm doing it. My kids and stuff. Again, my kids never got to watch a game last year live and never really got to come in the dressing room and experience all that stuff that they love to do. So I'm looking forward to this year.
Hey, let's be honest here. You're looking at that 1,000 points. You want to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, what do you think it's going What do you think it's going to take for you to get there, though? Because you got a cup. You got the fucking cup. You're a badass. You fight. You have all the intangibles that you need. Like, what's it going to take for you you think that you're going to get that knock?
I don't know. You know what? I'm not worried about that. Obviously, that's a goal and would be great to be an honor to be part of something like that. But I don't think that I concern myself with the numbers, and I want to get to 1,000 points. Don't get me wrong. That's definitely an accomplishment and I want to be there. But I think that stuff happens naturally if the game, you know, if I play the game that I want to play and able to go and contribute somewhere, whether it be in Anaheim or somewhere else next year.
Yeah, no, and you know how it should be important to you to get to 1,000 points, man. There's no question.
Yeah.
Like, of all the things you've accomplished, though, I mean, the list is so long, though, man. Like, the gold medals, the World Cup, World Championships, World Juniors, everything. Like, what stands out of all those things when I bring them up? You know, outside of just, you know, winning the cup and everything you've done in the NHL.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, and they're all so different and in such different experiences that it's hard to really point out. The Stanley Cup was the hardest trophy. That was the one I grew up wanting my whole life. Everyone knows I didn't grow up picturing myself playing in the Olympic gold medal, you know, game. I pictured myself playing in the Stanley Cup final and winning. And so that was probably the biggest, you know, accomplishment when it comes to that standpoint. The Olympics were both different. Vancouver was awesome to be able to win on home soil and be part of that whole thing. But then, you know, going over to Russia was kind of the true Olympic experience. We were in the village the whole time, not a lot of family there, stuff like that. So both great. And then, you know, the World Junior stands out a lot too, because Canada was fighting for a gold medal for a long time and we were able to, and I got to do it after a loss. You know, losing the year before was probably the biggest influence on my whole career, was going over and losing in that gold medal game and knowing how shitty that felt. And I tried to carry that with me the rest of the way on how much I hated to lose.
Cam and Strick podcast here for our boy Dan Bellman with Bellman.com.
Yeah, baby.
You need some new wheels? Why not get a Cadillac, a Buick, a GMC? Head out to Troy today. And again, don't forget about Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram right across the street.
No doubt.
Right there in Troy, Missouri. Visit them online. Check out their new selection, the pre-owned selection, the best service you will find anywhere in the country. Bellman.com. BehlmannN.com. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the summer.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview.
What's the biggest celebration then? Is it the Stanley Cup? Is it the gold medal? Is it the World Junior? Like, what's the big? How do you guys celebrate in each individual winning performance there? Championship. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
Championship. What was the biggest celebration?
The Stanley Cup's the biggest celebration. Right. That's, again, you work so long and so hard to get there. When you go to the Olympics, the World Juniors and stuff, you have a great night celebration and it carries on that whole night. Trust me, but it's it's, you wake up in the morning and everybody's headed home.
Yeah,
there's no, you win the Stanley Cup. You've been battling with most of those guys the whole season. You've been a lot of those guys. You come up through the, like on that you know, our Stanley Cup team, there was a few of us that have been together for 4 or 5 years going through the summer camps, all that kind of crap. So, and then you have the summer to kind of celebrate together and enjoy that Stanley Cup. So that one's definitely the biggest celebration.
All right. So your 2005 World Junior team, I know people have talked to you about this before, but like, you know, maybe the best team ever assembled. I don't know. Like my Pee Wee team was actually pretty good back in the day, but this one wasn't bad.
You played on your coach.
I heard one article about that. Actually.
Yeah, Bergeron, sure, Crosby. I mean, Phaneuf, Carter, Richards, Weber, Seabrook. I can go on and on and on with who's on that team. How many of these guys do you still talk to? Like, who are some of your best friends around the league that you haven't played with in Anaheim?
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky. I mean, to come up together, a lot of us off that World Junior team have played World Champions, World Cup, you know, the Olympics. We had a bunch of guys from that team. So I've always kind of kept in touch with a lot of those guys. It's amazing how much winning creates kind of a legacy together, and you kind of feel in that group together. And we still have group chats from, you know, the Stanley Cup team that, you know, we still chirp each other, and I get the odd message from guys and stuff. And a lot of those guys are working around the league now. And so it's been fun.
Does Penner chime in on those?
We had his ass. We had him overgrown.
Penner comes and goes. He disappears for a while and then he'll pop back up. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, let me ask you something. You ever feel so bouchy where you're like, dude, I got my Stanley Cup ring. I got my gold medal. I'm going to wear this out tonight. I'm going to wear a fucking... do you ever do that?
Cam would.
I would have done it. I would go to fucking Schnucks and wear it.
You'd be wearing it right now.
I can honestly tell you that I have not worn my Stanley Cup ring anywhere since I got it.
Really?
Even the night I should have worn it, I didn't. I kind of forgot about it.
Getzy,
you probably would have lost it anyway.
What's it like though? Like every time you do something, there's like a newspaper article about it. Like you buy a house, it's like a story.
Oh,
you sell
a house. That's fun.
Does that bother you? Because I remember like when Pietrangelo signed in Vegas last year, he like flipped out because somebody like posted in like a Vegas newspaper where he was buying his house, and he was all, you know, he's like, how does this happen? Like, you
they
know,
can find you anyway.
Yeah,
matter.
I know. So like, does that bother you?
It does. I used to try and hide it. When I bought my other house, I bought a pretty big house here a little while back, the one I sold, and we put it in a different trust and stuff so that it didn't get out as easy. But it got to be a bit of a pain in the butt. So, obviously this one we purchased and it was out the next day. So we just dealt with it. It is what it is. I'm not too concerned about it. I'm not a big media guy in general, so I don't have social media or anything. So I don't really hear anything unless people tell me about it.
You don't do any social media.
I looked you up. I couldn't find a goddamn. There's a lot of fake accounts of you.
I know.
Yeah, I do. I do nothing, but I got any social media account out there is not me. I promise you that.
All right, a few more questions.
I was talking to you for like 2 years.
And a few more questions, and we'll let you go. So, but like, since you've never been through UFA. Like, is this stressful for you? Are you like, how are you going to approach it? Are you going to try to enjoy it and embrace it? Or are you kind of like a little bit like internally a little stressed out over it?
No, honestly, my stress level has been surprisingly really low. I'm just kind of taking it in and trying to enjoy it. You know, Wednesday might come and Wednesday, Thursday might be a little bit more stressful when I have to have real conversations. But as for right now, I kind of just let things flow and let the chips fall where they do and deal with it then, and that's kind of always been my mentality. So,
yeah, I got one last one for you. Okay, so you did everything, man. Like you're gonna get your 1,000 points. You're probably gonna get a lot more than that. You're gonna be in a Hall of Fame, in my opinion, because I'm gonna write an email to everybody, and that goes a long way.
I appreciate you sending that email.
Of course, I will, no doubt.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna tweet it on it because I'm on social media. But the point is, like, after hockey, everybody's gonna call you and be like, I want you to be my assistant. I want this from you. Can you do what the fuck do you want to do? Are you kicking your feet up and watching your kids grow up and sitting on the goddamn beach and say, maybe I'll do a Zoom with y'all and tell you what to do, but I ain't traveling?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that in the last year and a half here, about what I want to do after hockey. I know I don't want to coach, but I know right. that I'd like to stay around the game. But like you said, I miss a lot of things. Those of us that have kids and understand how much you're gone. And, I've really enjoyed, you know, obviously over the pandemic and stuff, I've been able to be with my family a lot. And it's amazing how much joy you can get out of just watching your kids play. And, so yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'd like to be involved at some aspect, but like you said, I don't want to be on a schedule where I'm traveling around all the time and have to miss everything.
Everybody always says, I don't want to coach. Nobody wants to coach.
Why would you want to travel?
I know.
It's a pain in the ass.
And be at the
Nobody
rink.
Wants to coach.
Be at the rink at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants that.
You're breaking film down and shit.
You're breaking video
You'll
down.
Be fucking cutting film and shit to get to work up. Yeah, actually, they'll make film. You assistant GM or something. Who are you kidding?
Clock film.
Hey,
yeah, exactly. But even assistant GM, you're traveling over to fucking Finland and watching some kid that's not going to make it.
All right, last thing for you. Who's your favorite coach you played for? You haven't played for that many, really.
No, I haven't had that many. I've been with Randy and Bruce and Dallas. And then obviously the world championships and all that stuff. I've had some temporary coaching, but yeah, no, they've all been different. I mean, everybody brought something different to the table. Randy was an old school guy. Bruce was really good to play for. And now Dallas is definitely, Dallas is a different breed than those other two. He does a lot of motivational stuff and team building type stuff. And so it's been good. I've been pretty fortunate to play for some good people.
Yeah. You got those young kids too, man. Those kids are going to be studs one day, yeah, you know, like some of those young guys. So,
and you're
a great guy for them to learn from, man. So anyway, best of luck in free agency.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to be texting you on Wednesday. I want that scoop here, Ryan. So you better let me know.
Getsy, I always looked up to you, big boy, man. Even when you're losing your hair, I even looked up to you more because I was losing my hair, just so you know.
Well, I appreciate that, buddy. I enjoyed it. That's, been a pleasure playing against a lot of people, and I remember us having battles in when we were in Portland. We had one night where you and freaking Clarkson were doing your thing.
Charlie Gillies is on that. We partied that
night. But I love that shit though. That's fun,
dude. You were chirping me so fucking bad, and then Gillies is chirping me from the bench, and then we all hang out that night and stay up till like 6 a.m.
Yeah,
we became buddies.
Well, that's good.
Isn't that funny how that works? You should have been
That's how hockey players are, bud.
Hey, right. You're the man, homeboy. Yep. We'll keep in touch. Hey, buddy.
Yep.
All right, boys, you guys take care.
See you, Getsy.
Thanks for your time,
dude.
Thanks, boys.
See you,
bye. Bye.
All right, that was Ryan Getzlaff, man. Again, you know, he's got a lot going on right now. We appreciate him giving us some time.
Yeah.
And respect everything this guy's done as a hockey player, dude. Man. Truly one of the best of his era.
I love him. Awesome guy. Going through the same kind of pain as me as far as the hair loss thing.
Mm.
He's got enough coin.
Did you ever, like, not want to go out without a hat on?
Yeah.
I had a roommate that would never...
I almost did it at the concert the other day. I brought both. I did hair in my... gel in my hair, mm-hmm. and then I brought a hat to hold... And then when I got in front of everybody, I'm like, they're staring at my bald spot. And I felt like,
why don't you shave it?
Why don't you? My front looks decent.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
So I think you just try shaving it because you wear a hat so much.
How about I just get Hans Wyman to do my back of my cul-de-sac and mm-hmm. fix it like mm-hmm. they did the front part? I'd be balder than a fucking doorknob.
Oh, really? So that's from Hans.
This is Hans Wyman. Andy, I'd be balder than a doorknob.
Really?
Yes.
Balder than a doorknob?
Balder than a doorknob.
Wow.
A doorknob, Andy. It's bald. A doorknob.
Okay, so when you first started losing, and again, I had a roommate for a long time who would never take a hat off. Mm-hmm. He would sleep with a hat on.
Well, that's ludicrous.
Like, hold on. We played basketball. He'd wear like a bandana if the bandana came off.
Like LeBron?
No, I'm just saying. So people really deal with, and now he's all good. Took him a long time. Like, it truly is. This is something that's very serious.
And I really don't give a fuck that much.
Now you do.
I got a fucking hot wife.
What about back in the day? When you first started
losing? When I was wheeling in the game, my hair was still decent. And my status symbol was high enough to where if I was losing a little bit of hair, the girls didn't give a fuck anyway. Right? You know? I didn't have a fucking... It didn't matter. As long as I was sweet to them, it didn't matter if he had a little bit of hair loss. And then I got married... And then I lost it. But then I'm on TV and stuff. And then, you know, you see it. And it's just me. No one gives a fuck but me. My wife doesn't give a fuck. It's just me. So I'm self-absorbed with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it, man.
You know, some women lose hair, too, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Like, that's
no
a
doubt.
Real thing.
100%. No doubt. I know. I hate when people bitch like, oh, my God, I got fucking gray hair. Fucking dye it. Dye the motherfucker. It's the easiest goddamn thing in the world. I have gray hair. Dye it. No one even knows.
Dye it?
Diet.
Like, on a diet?
No, Andy. Dye the motherfucker. Like, if people complain about having gray hair, I'm like, sometimes gray hair looks cool. But even if it doesn't look cool, dye the motherfucker.
You know, like
shit.
In a mountain town, like women that have like silver hair, it's very sexy, like to go all natural and all that, to look like that. Right, you would know that, I guess, you know. I mean,
I've seen girl.
Just look natural.
You kind of look a little bit elderly when you have silver hair.
Some women don't shave and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
really cool.
Legs and stuff.
That's fucking cool. Where we live in the 15th century
armpits
in France.
And stuff like, they let it, just let it go.
Yeah, where are you going?
Let's let it go.
Where, who does that? In France?
You've never seen that?
Not around
a
here.
Lot of the natural that, women.
That's the women you were fucking wheeling back in the day. I don't think there are women, to be honest with you. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
It's just going natural.
Yeah.
And you're just letting it go.
Yeah, I love hanging out with hippie women. It's the best.
Yeah, I love to see hippie women. Then. Yeah, there you go.
They're sexy.
So what do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Just it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Well, what if Kate said to you, I think, listen, I just want to let it grow go. Hair.
She didn't even fart. She didn't even take a shit. Hot girls don't fart or shit.
Really?
Just so you know, they don't. Just so you know. Hot girls don't fart or shit. They don't smell. Hot girls are just hot girls. I'm a disgusting slob. I shit like 18 times a day, and I'm gross, and then I smell bad, and I'm like, help me. Kate's like always pure. And like, I don't know, fresh. I'm like, fuck. Disgusting.
Fresh.
I know.
Keep
hot girls are fresh, man.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
Yeah, dude.
There's something to be said for that.
What'd you ask
fresh
me?
Fresh start for Ryan Getzlaf. Where'd you like to, where would
Vegas? Where do I like him to go?
I feel like I he's going to go to Vegas or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Go save some coin. Go build your brand up. Have a fucking beer dispensary with Reaver. Make a little bit more money
there.
He could
drive some nice cars.
Have a cool,
out there.
Fucking do whatever you want.
Owns his own, like if I'm car ready, dealership.
If I'm Getzy, dude, I'm like, where do I want to go? Give me 800 grand. Give me 2 years. Give me 800. I don't give a fuck. You'll
Florida,
get more than that. But
Florida?
I go to Vegas. You got a good team. I could be a leader on that team. I've won. I could do business in that town. Although, do you need to do business? But you can. You could have fun with your buddies. How about you live the rest of your career playing on a great team? Your role's diminished, but you're not making that much. So the scrutiny's not all on you, and you can go have fun, and your family and friends can come in and have a great time. I go to fucking Vegas, dude. 4 hours away from your house. Fuck. I'd play in Tampa. I'd play in Florida. I'd play in Nashville.
How come Arizona can't
I'd play in Carolina. I'd play in Carolina.
This Shaika really messed it up that bad.
Where?
Huh? In Arizona? They can't
oh,
be.
Jesus Christ.
Who wouldn't want to play there?
That's where the contracts go to die. Well, they got a sick team. They got Pronger. They got fucking Datsuk. They got Ladd. They got, I mean, Jesus. They just take contracts and give away.
Well, Billy Armstrong actually did pretty good with getting some of those draft picks. Whatever. He's able to move out some salary. He's almost got to start over, man. He inherited an absolute mess.
You're right. We love Billy, but they just take on contracts.
We'll have Clayton Keller on here soon.
Like, can they move?
Next few weeks,
can they just move? It's not Billy's fault.
We'll find out what's going on.
Can they fucking move?
Why?
They don't have any attraction down there. They're placed in the middle of fucking nowhere.
They need a new stadium. I've said
they're going to do another stadium. They had one down in Phoenix. Now they moved out to the middle of nowhere. They thought they're going to build this. They spent all this money on building it right next to the football field. They have all these venues and restaurants, and still nobody goes there because it's fucking 30 miles away. And so you don't have any fans. You've sucked for a long time. You don't have any establishment. I don't know.
But you know this. As long as if they started winning, fans would come. You got to win. They haven't had a winning product in a long time. They haven't been interesting.
I don't know. Yeah,
since,
exactly.
Like,
we'll figure it
Big
out.
Big Walt and Kachuk. Well, or
figure
in,
it out,
and JR.
They figure it
Roenick.
Out. Then. How can I not chirp them, that organization? Seriously.
Solani.
How can you not chirp that organization? They bring in fucking contracts. They bring in monster contracts. They try to get. That's all they do every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same fucking thing. It's not fun playing. It's fun to like play golf, but like as far as like,
I think guys like living there.
Well, no shit. It's cheap, and they could play golf all goddamn day, and the weather's the exact same. Yeah, it's kind of cool, but as far as like the atmosphere, it's terrible. Biz Nasty's the most popular guy in that organization still, and he will be for a long time.
Will be.
You want me like? Do you want me to lie today or something?
No,
should I not be myself?
I
like, what am I doing?
I don't want you.
Like,
to lie.
I drive down here. Like, you want my opinion? I'm going to give it to you. Good God! Am I supposed to be fake? You're looking at me like, why are you so like honest with stuff, Cam?
So
well, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know.
You got any other predictions for like free agents and everything?
No, Andy, I don't. That's on you. Should I ask you this question?
No.
What do you think? Whatever happens, we'll dissect it. But I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The Blues need somebody else. That's for sure. Arizona needs a move. Seattle's fun. That'd be cool. I don't know if they're going to be that good. They got $30 million in cap room. Do something.
That's Dmitri Yaskin. I'll say that. He's signing with Arizona.
Is he? Yaski is?
1 year deal. $3.2
million. $3.2?
I know.
From Russia?
Yes. He tore it up. I'm just saying it because, like, Weidman, I've been, like, holding on to that. And now
they
it's
signed
out.
Dmitry Yaskin for $3.2 million coming from Russia.
I know. How about that?
Okie dokie.
See?
Oh, he's going to bring a ton of fans in.
He might be the most popular player.
He's going to bring all them Russian boys over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
He's really Czech.
Whatever.
He's Russian, but he's Czech. Like, his dad is Russian, but was playing in Czech. And he's always represented the Czech Republic internationally. So we'll see how that plays out.
It's going
to
turn around.
Don't say that on your radio show.
It's going to turn around. Why would they talk about him on radio show?
Seth Jones, by the way, to Chicago.
Yeah, he's a cool cat, man. Yeah. Handsome bugger, 26 years old.
How would you feel if you're Yarmo and like all these, like you got all these great players and you just can't keep any of them?
I know.
And you just have to move them.
They got a problem. They've had some bad stuff go down in Columbus for, you know, years now.
But why is it? I mean, because see, that's a difference between St. Louis and Columbus.
There you go. No doubt.
Star players come here and like they re-sign.
Yep. No, 100%. And Columbus is a beautiful spot to live.
It is.
Great
golf courses.
The crime's great right down. Go downtown. Mm-hmm. Like you could walk around downtown right there. No one's robbing you.
Yeah.
Like very rare.
You're like an expert on downtown.
Oh, well, you just, well, you evaluate. When you play, you just go to different places.
I mean,
I'm
just going to name the city and you're just going to break down what's going on.
I don't have blindfolds on when I go places like you.
No, you have to keep your head on a swivel.
I do.
Always. You have to.
No doubt, dude.
Yeah, especially when your girl's with you.
I'm a hypochondriac. No. My bra's with me. I'm like, what are we doing? So Columbus is very nice. It's easy to deal with. It's no traffic.
No.
Cheap to live.
College town.
It's a college town, and they like you there. Now,
yes,
are you going to be a superstar there? No, but it's a comfortable spot to play. So I don't know why they don't. I don't know why they can't be successful.
Like Nashville can, and Columbus can.
Well, Nashville's a completely different animal.
It is, but I used to kind of put them in the same category. Nashville was not as cool as it is today, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
It's more like 30 years ago.
Well, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Like 30 years ago.
And now they've like all of a sudden just, I don't know. It's like become.
It's actually.
That city has grown tremendously.
It's actually become. So we're past the point now, Andy, to a point where like more people are. It's flooding. People are flooding in Nashville now.
Oh, my God.
So 10 years ago was actually perfect.
You're right.
Because it
was too crowded. It's like Denver, Colorado.
So that's why.
Denver's gotten too busy.
Smitty, Chaser, Gretz, Holly. All them, they don't live in that. They live outside.
Lubo Spartak.
He's a cool cat. Fucking, he's a badass looking motherfucker. Cute family, Jesus Christ.
And a lot of like, you know, obviously, alums from
the Preds. See so many alumni down there. They're so it's awesome down there.
JP Dumont, those guys.
Oh, great guy,
Chris Mace.
Great Mace. What's up, Mace? I know you listen, homeboy. What's up? They're awesome. Nashville's fucking badass, dude. It's fucking badass.
But, I mean, that city is just blowing up, and it has blown up the last, like, you know, decade, 12 years, whatever. Denver, similar. Like, I used to drive through Denver on the way to college. Like, there was nothing going on.
But it's okay.
Nothing going on.
They're not
going
to
hurt. And now, all of a sudden, it's just like, you ever hung out outside of where that building is? It's amazing.
Kind of in the middle of...
No, man. Like,
it's not in the middle of nothing.
Like, all those restaurants and bars right outside the building.
Okay, yeah. And then you go, and what we used to stay was like Cherry Creek Lane.
Cherry Creek, yeah.
Cool spot.
Cherry Creek Lane.
Cherry Creek Lane, whatever. Oh, yeah. I used to. So
Cherry Creek's nice over there.
Oh, my lungs.
Oh, God. What are you trying to say?
Andy. You hang out that night.
Yeah.
And then the next day. Yeah. Your lungs are barren, and then you're
because of the
you're
focusing on the altitude.
No, I'm honest. I'm mixing both of them together.
No, you're not supposed to be honest. Remember this edition?
Well, wait, am I supposed to lie? Like, why are we doing this? Then?
I'm kidding.
Why are we doing this? Do I want to be fluffy like everybody else is?
Are you seeing a lot of fluff out there? You see a lot of fluff.
It's either they're talking about themselves or it's fluff. It's just that simple.
Fluffy
fucking fluffy. What's your favorite cookie? I like Oreo. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck?
Oh, man. That would be fluff, right? That's fluffy.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
You know what's not fluff?
What?
CarShield.
Yeah, no. Hell nah.
CarShield is not fluff. Like, what's the opposite of fluff? Real.
Dick?
Real.
Oh, real. Yes. Real.
And CarShield is real.
They're very real.
Car Reel. You can just call that if you want. Car Shield.
They hooked me up.
800-857-2481. Well, hopefully I'll never need to be. You just want that for protection.
With that Volvo you got, it's going to break down. Actually, it's German. You're good.
No, it won't.
It ain't going nowhere. That thing's German,
at least that baby. Every 2 years.
That thing's going nowhere. That thing's going for fucking 400. Those cars go forever, dude.
But you never know. I still have the protection because
well, your starter can
in
go
the
out.
Event something happens, I want to make your sure that I'm taking gonna be care okay, of.
But your starter might go
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Or your fucking something. Yeah.
You know, no, they're always there for you. Something. That's what I love about Car Show, man. They never go away. They're always there for you. 800-857-2481. Again, mention the promo code CAM. You're going to save 20%. I know it's embarrassing. It just is. It's a little bit mad. But you know what? Do it. You're going to save 10%. And like
your buddy, Ezekiel. And Sven.
He's in training camp Sven. Right now. Ezekiel Elliott's in training camp.
I saw him with
he
his
lost a bunch
ring.
Of weight, and he's got a he needs a makeover. He needs a makeover.
Like, take that
needs
out.
A makeover.
Jesus Christ!
But he's had a.
Hey, what did he do? By the way, he fucking punched somebody out, didn't he? He did some crazy ass shit. How's he doing?
Yeah, I think he pulled his shirt down or something.
And no one
like on camera.
No, he did something.
No,
to somebody.
He pulled a shirt girl. Down.
Oh, the girl. Yeah,
remember?
Oh, no, it was in the thing. Yeah,
he
you're right.
Her shirt.
Yeah. So like, I don't know.
No, I know
that's not good to do.
It's not. Like you don't do that.
You don't do that. But, like, where are we comparing it to, like, how, why are we, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Andy.
You gotta, like,
I don't know anymore.
I know.
I'm sorry,
hey,
man.
Listen.
I'm sorry if I offend anybody.
Believing
I'm
in
sorry.
Believing in people and giving kids second chances. I mean,
just
listen.
Real. I'm just trying to be, not trying, I'm just.
But everybody who's had an opinion, I will say this, like, hasn't had the opportunity, like Montreal, to truly sit down with this kid.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Talk to people around him.
Talk to his family and talk to his buddies.
No, and talk to, like, teachers, everything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Talk to the people.
You know, like, when you're drafting players, especially in the first round, and they find out everything there is to know about you.
Everything.
Everything. They talk to the people you've worked for. They talk to your friends. They talk to your roommates. They talk to your school teachers.
Yep, just remember
they
that.
Talk to the custodian
right.
at the school.
Yep.
They talk to the cashier at the gas station half mile away from your house.
Damn
they
right,
talk
they
to
do.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody. And they'll get every fucking thing on you, just so you know. So just be real. Mm-hmm. Be real. If you got to fix shit, you can fix it. But just be real. I mean, it just
keep
remember.
It real. I tell people that all the
just
time.
Be real,
keep
man.
It real.
Just remember,
keep it
real. Like, everybody's watching you now.
I'm not saying they should have or shouldn't have. I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, they felt comfortable with it. I don't know. That's on them. This is now on the Montreal Canadiens.
No doubt about it.
And we'll see how this guy carries himself and what kind of character he truly has. He's either going to make the Montreal Canadiens look right or he's going to make them look wrong.
Or, well,
no,
okay.
It's one or the other.
Well, no, no. Here's one or the other. Make him look right as he comes, and he's perfect, and he scores 30 a year, and he does thing and does work. Here's what's not wrong. They come, and he doesn't do anything, and they send him down, but he doesn't get in trouble. What he does wrong is if they fucking get him and they mentor him, and all of a sudden he does something stupid again, then they get in trouble. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You risked it. You did thing, and it shows everybody else you fuck up. We'll take a chance, depending on what it
there
is.
Are people,
depending on what it is, we'll take a chance on you.
There are people who have messed up, who have spent years and years behind bars and prisons, who have made a living and a career mentoring prisoners.
And
counseling
no.
prisoners.
Doubt,
you know what I mean? There's ways.
How about Jordan Belfort?
You can turn mistakes into potentially becoming a better person. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I would have made the draft pick and whatever and brought on all this controversy and whatever. I probably wouldn't have done
controversy
it.
Controversy sucks to bring
on. I wouldn't have done
but
it.
But sometimes you got to
do it. I wouldn't have done it. But now that they did it, I don't want to see anybody fail.
No.
And that includes Mark Bergevin in this situation.
Well, I want this kid to be like, he did say that. I fucked up. I fucking, girls, I took a picture I sent to my buddies. I thought I was cool. I fucked up. I didn't hit her. I didn't do anything. I fucked up, but I'm a good dude. Mm-hmm. I fucked up.
But
that's the
again,
difference.
Montreal brought on a lot of negative attention. Like, if I'm the owner, I'm like, no, let's not do that.
Yeah.
I'm
like, I don't know. As an owner, maybe not, Andy. You're right. But as a GM, different story.
Hey.
You get my drift on that?
No, I get it. I get it. It's just, listen, they're the ones that are taking the risk on board. We'll see how it plays out.
As the owner, like, you're the owner, like, your mate, that's your hobby.
Well, I think you said it accurately earlier in the podcast.
Oh, really?
Where you said you're either a, you say you're either
you're a bad kid or you fucked up.
A kid that made a mistake. Yeah. So yeah. Which one is it?
Which one are you? And I could tell right away.
A lot
away.
Of people are holier than art thou.
Andy.
Right? Is that how it works? Andy. Is that how it goes?
Andy.
Tell me how you say it.
How art thou?
A lot of people are how art thou.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but here's the deal.
Holier than thou?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm higher. I look down upon you. Like, what? What'd you do? Like, I know your fucking past. You fuck. Who you kid? Here's the point. I just think that you sometimes just have to evaluate. Did he fuck up in that particular situation in juniors, or is he a bad dude? Because Andy, we could sit cats.
Well, that's the question I would have asked.
We could sit cats down right now, and you will know in
2 seconds.
What
makes you comfortable that he's a kid that made a mistake versus Andy, being a bad kid? I would have asked that question.
We talk to people,
although the guy probably wouldn't have answered it. He probably would have stood there.
I don't need him
to
talk. You don't need it. He doesn't need to answer it. I'm going to evaluate you anyway. But when we talk to kids, and you see some fucking dipshit kid, and he's just a fucking, he talks to you, and you're like, okay.
So you know.
You're a fucking dipshit.
Yeah.
Or a kid that's really nice, and all of a sudden he had a weird thing that happened a year ago, and you're like, this kid's a sweetheart. Like, what'd you do, man? He's like, dude, I was doing this, and I just did that.
Now, you're not saying that's who he is. We don't know.
I know, but there's a difference. Like, you know who the dipshit motherfuckers are, Andy. Yeah. We've seen them. Mm-hmm. And right when they talk to you, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Fuck this kid. Or a kid that's so sweet, and you're like, wait, you fucked up? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what happened? He's like, dude, I just did this. I'm like, okay.
What do you think Montreal's owner was thinking when that director of amateur scouting is at the podium and just frozen?
Oh, man. I don't know. He looked like Joe Biden. Seriously. Asking about the coronavirus. Come on. It's like, hey, Joe, tell us about the mask situation. And Trump did the same goddamn thing.
I know.
Oh, well, how about all the fucking politicians?
That's what I'm going to say.
Hey, when you are a
politician, are we comparing
fucking
press conferences?
Fuck all the politicians. I hate them all. Because if you get to that certain point as a politician, you have to dick people over one way or the other. Yeah. So I don't like you. No. All y'all is the same. But right now he's in charge. Yeah. So that's why I bring him
but
up.
But here's our memo to the kids, man. Always know whatever decision you make will carry. It'll stay with you forever.
Hey, man, I know for a fact.
So make smart decisions.
I've been through it.
Hope other kids learn from this kid, Logan Malou.
Yeah, dude.
Who are good hockey
players. Don't fuck with girls.
Or even if you're not an athlete. But learn from these kids, man. Whatever decision you make, don't think that all of a sudden it's just going to go away.
Hey, you know what? Here's another thing. You take a picture of some chick that you're fucking hanging out with and you send it to me, I'm going to be like, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing my own thing. What are you fucking?
What about to the group chat?
I don't want to see this. Get the fuck out of here. Don't fucking do that. When you're a fucking wheel and you're fucking cool and you wheel chicks, you don't do that shit. When you walk in the locker room, like, what'd you do? It's like, yeah, we hung out. That's what makes you cool. Like, you don't brag about it. That's so fucking stupid. Just don't do that shit. That poor girl's
you
like,
never,
what the fuck are you doing to me?
You never bragged inside the
dressing room? Oh, 100,000% I did. But now I'm older, and I know you don't. I look like a, Andy, I told you, I was weird. I went through a weird time in Windsor. Not going to lie to you. Where I didn't know where I was. I became popular real quick. I thought I was too cool for school. Got a couple hundred grand in my pocket.
And you got beat up at the bar and whatever.
Got beat up at the bar, but that wasn't because of, I just was trying to fight, whatever. But the girl situation at school, I was too much. I was like, look at me, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, dude, settle down. Like, just settle down. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And then you learn, you're like, God, what am I doing? And then you realize, like, no, you don't need to just be normal. Don't do that. No, and you know what? If you guys send me pictures, look at this girl. I don't give a fuck. Get the fuck out of here. Talk about it in the locker room. Tell stories. That's fine. But don't send pictures to me. Not to mention my fucking phone blows up. My wife sees that. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want that. It's stupid. Don't do that shit.
Okay. So again, CarShield, carshield.com, 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. Everybody, hey, put on a great event. The Car Shield teams did great.
Did they win?
Well, at some of the age groups, they did. I know at the larger, I think they were winning. You know, the championship prize was like $15,000, like per player or something.
No,
something like that.
Way.
Okay, whatever.
No fucking way.
I thought about busting out my rollerblades again.
I think I'm wrong, probably, but you're probably wrong on a lot of things too.
State Wars, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bellman and Bellman.com, again, located in Troy, Missouri. The best pre-owned, the best new car selection you'll find anywhere. Dan Bellman is the man. Dan is the man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Dale's the man.
Dale, too.
These guys just flat out get it done here in St. Louis. They give back, constantly giving back to the community, charity stuff, helping out hockey. They are the best.
They are the coolest guys. Your girl can go in there and buy a car.
We love supporting them. We love supporting
them. They're legit.
And we love the fact that they support us.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. Again, Located in Troy, Missouri. They've got the Cadillac Buick GMC. You know, I'm looking at that Escalade. Just like Ryan Getzlaff drove an Escalade for his prom. His agent let him borrow it, you know, for prom.
And that's a lot cooler than, you know.
Yeah, I think I mean, so too. Because his first car was like a Honda CRV or something, or Honda Civic or something like that.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Yeah, what was your first car?
Mustang 5.0 hatchback 91.
Wow, I had a Mustang.
No, you didn't.
No, I did. My first car was
never mind. I got to let you talk. Go ahead. Never mind.
Hey, your
go
friends
ahead.
Told you.
Go ahead.
1972 go ahead. Mustang. This is like in the late 90s too. So it was like a, what do they call it? It's like a classic car. Classic car.
Did anything happen in it?
It was.
Did you do anything cool?
Oh, I used to
it?
Race people. Like all the like Hoosiers, whatever we call them here, mm-hmm. they'd hang out at like 7-Eleven with their like hoods popped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, come on, I don't know anything about the car. And I'd just go mm-hmm. race them and I'd win.
Yeah.
It had bullet holes in it, too.
It flew,
orange.
Too, didn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was amazing.
It was more of a rocket
and
ship.
Then I got rid of that, and then I had a Mercury Lynx.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, it was like a Ford
Police
Escort.
Oh, Ford Escort?
It was kind of like, no, it's like an Escort. It was a 1986
girls love
Mercury
that.
Lynx.
Yeah, had girls
like,
love
had
Escorts.
Like stickers all over the back of it and everything.
Yeah, it's fucking bad. Those shit kickers drive.
I know. They're it was cool. Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's cool. Then I had a.
We done?
Then I think I had a Taurus, Ford Taurus.
That's cool.
And eventually break it down. Worked my way up.
Go ahead.
You know, and.
Break it down.
Now we got the Volvo.
I'm a nice guy now. Got fucking
Is
rattled
that how
the
it's
concert.
Gonna be?
Got riled to concert.
Yeah, like,
even by a female.
Really? Fan. Just a random person?
She was good looking too.
Was she? Well, that's
I
how
know.
It works.
And Kate, you I'm know sorry, how. Kate's like, who's it? And she's like, I love it. You're just a little mean to Andy. I'm like, God damn it.
Really? See? Know. They all know.
I'm like, fuck.
Especially the women.
But they don't like you.
No, they love
but
me.
They say, I just need to chill
okay,
a little
see,
bit.
Now you had to go there. See, you had to get mean again. They had to get.
Well, I'm realistic.
They love
There's
me.
There's difference. It's realistic. Me. I'm not mean. They didn't say they want to kill you. They said that. They're not a big fan.
No, I think they love
me. They don't. They're more a fan of me being nice.
No, that's not true. That is not true at all.
Yeah. That was a wake-up call.
Again,
so that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure.
You can follow us on Twitter at Andy Strickland. And what is yours?
They know. Cam Jansen 25, Instagram, if you want to be entertained.
Oh, my Instagram is at Real Strict Nasty.
I got Cameo. I'll pump your tires up. Twitter. Two Facebook accounts.
I've got
just
Cameo as you well. Guys. I've got Cameo as well.
It's doing good, I heard.
Yeah. So if you guys want a Cameo.
I'm a positive guy.
I'd be happy to give you one at least on free agency day or
I'll
something.
I'll give you an example. You know? Here's a positive vibe by me to Andy. Your Cameo's doing really well.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're a nice guy now, you know.
Thank
that?
You.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
You look like you've been working out. You've been working out?
Well, look at me. Come on.
You look jacked. You're a really good hockey
it's
player.
It's this shirt, dude. It, like, this shirt makes
you're
me
really
like, it, like, takes away the
is
muscle
Is there anything else
tone.
I can say to pump your tires up?
These Vineyard Vines shirts, you know?
God. I tried. I'm trying.
What kind of shirts did you buy at the mall? You bought Lululemon? What
I'm
else?
A piece of shit.
Is that all you bought?
I smell. I was embarrassing.
Those shirts are a little too tight.
Oh, I look too so tight. Bad.
I know.
And even when I put my arms up to do, like, a thing, I look like my... I just look goofy.
Yeah, I know.
My wife looks hot, and I look stupid.
Yeah, you got to make sure you
I
work on that.
I suck at everything.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you're good, though.
I appreciate
Everything's
that.
Good about you.
Hey, thanks. We'll end on that.
Everyone know that. Love you guys.
Enjoy.
I'm sorry if I finished. Give me the comments, man. Let's talk.
Let's do.
Let's talk,
Let's
baby.
Have conversation.
I love you guys, man.
Let's have
love
conversation.
You guys
thanks for listening to the Cam and Strick Podcast.
See you, dudes.